Head On with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and it is cussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Pycod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! Well, we're almost there, aren't we? Almost. Almost. It is Monday. It is the third day of November 2008. And in a little over 12 hours, I'm going to get up and get dressed and go down to the polls. I think it's a mark of, I don't know. My parents were always funny that way. Went early. As early as they could. They were there when the polls opened. And I guess the habit just sort of took on me. I'll have them a little, I'll try to take some video or something with me in case it is necessary to record any weirdness. But here in this tiny little community, this tiny little holler, I suspect that'll be about as routine as one may possibly imagine anything to be. Got some news from my son this afternoon. They had their little in-school plebiscite at the middle school where he attends. And, you know, kids are usually, bring me my prune juice. Younger folk have resoundingly spoken out for Barack Obama in this election year. But my son informed me today that at his middle school, it was a crushing victory for John McCain. And that does not bode well for this state or its future. Because that means that the little kids that my kids go to school with have learned a bunch of bigotry and hate and fear and stupidity and ignorance right in the hearth of their own homes. And, of course, there's a coal controversy today. We'll go into that maybe later in the program. First things first, condolences to Senator Obama and his sister and their extended family for the loss of the senator and his sister's beloved grandmother, Madeline Dunham. In light of the fact that it turns out one of the McCain creeps, Scott Wheeler is the executive director of the National Republican Trust PAC. They paid for and produced an ad about Reverend Wright, of course. Well, guess what? He also had a hand in producing something that you may all recall, namely the Clinton Chronicles. Remember those? Yeah, the one that had, you know, Hillary just sneaking through windows and Bill and knifing people in the dark and still of the night, and Bill wandering around blackjacking people from behind. Oh, and 42 people have died for the Clintons' insatiable lust for power. And it was such a ridiculous, libelous piece of mendacious garbage that even Jerry Falwell had to step away from it. Now, how bogus does something have to be when an old liar like Jerry Falwell has to say, brothers and sisters, no, we're not selling this anymore. So in light of that fact, I'm waiting. We will not see the sun rise on Election Day before someone in the McCain campaign has accused Barack Obama of timing his grandmother's death for a sympathy vote. You watch. You watch. Because they're just out there making crap up. As the guys over at Crooks and Liars point out, Matt Drudge has come completely unglued. He has found a video still of Barack Obama scratching the corner of his mouth. You've done it. I do it all the time. Scratching a corner of his mouth with his middle finger. Because, you know, human being-wise, the middle finger is the longest finger. And but now Matt Drudge is declaring that Obama has flipped the bird, the finger, at McCain. I seem to recall the Hilarians having this hissy earlier in the year as well. Maybe I'm wrong. But that's where we are here on in the Eastern Time Zone of the United States, roughly 12 hours from the it's less than 12 hours for the opening of the polls in Dixville Notch, New Hampshire. It's here. It is here, by God, it is here. And we shall soon see whether we have, and whether we, look, it's this way. Guy James will be on the air tomorrow at 3. I'll cover for Mark. Mark will be calling in from elsewhere. He's doing voter protection, putting his law license to damn good use tomorrow. So I'll start covering at 5. I'll do my show, and then we'll start hearing things. Things will begin rolling in. And about 9 o'clock, the way I've got it planned, the way we've got it planned, John Fox, me, Guy, Mark, love to hear from Peter, and anybody else who wants to chime in can participate in this election coverage. And we will stay on the air. We will also, as noted on Friday, we will celebrate with chips and salsa and an addendum, bacon, in memory of that political dynamo, Kenny Bollies, known to the world as Clyde from WD40.com. And the networks and all the other for-profit-only media, they're going to have experts on the air. Yes, sirree, guarantee. Wait, how'd they get to be experts? Oh, some TV booking agent said they were experts. Oh, okay, got it. Right. So that's what they'll have. We, on the other hand, will have working people. We'll have the real experts that make this country go. And you are all welcome to participate. And I encourage you so to do. Here in a little bit, we're going to delve into the Mussolini tapes. But for right now, we have callers on the line. And let's see who we've got. Hi, welcome to the program. Okay. Hey, welcome to the program. Kevin, what's up?
Nothing much. Pretty much, I think McCain has acknowledged that he lost the election. Is what they're trying to do, why they're campaigning, doing all this skullduggery, is because they're trying to salvage Congress, what little power they can get in Congress.
That is utterly reasonable, Kevin, and that makes a good bit of sense. I don't know that they've given up, though. I have never, ever, ever seen a Republican party that gave up on anything. As the boss man Wayne says, Republicans don't have off years.
They don't, but the campaign, looking back, and I don't want to sound too sure of myself. I'm trying to not do that because, like you said, don't ever underestimate the lowness of what these people will do. But it's just, I think they're giving him the presidency. They're hoping that we don't get the filibuster-proof Congress.
Well, you know that Joe Lieberman is off somewhere praying, "Dear God, please let the Democrats only get 59, so I can still have still have my Senate committee."
And that's what, you know, and that's the thing I'm afraid of, because believe it or not, I want the 60 so we can make him as irrelevant, you know.
Yes.
And I think that's what they're doing. That's what they're trying to do. You know, trying to salvage Congress. They got, you know, Lieberman in their pocket.
Well, exactly.
And you know, and this way they can try and filibuster everything that passes through.
Well, the other thing that they're also setting up, Kevin, I forget where I read this earlier today, but it makes very good sense, and it was something I hadn't thought of in a while. It sort of runs parallel to the business about one of the sleazoid Clinton chroniclers suddenly bobbing to the fetid surface of the McCain camp's cesspool. After Bill Clinton was elected in 1992. What you heard out of the Repiglicans was that Clinton was not really elected because he didn't have 50% of the vote. That's because of the votes that Ross Perot pulled away.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, that all disappeared with the election of, or the non-election of George W. Bush, who didn't really even win the popular vote. But that's what they're setting up. They're going to claim, they're hoping to be able to claim, that somehow or another, Barack Obama's victory, if victory it is indeed, that it is somehow illegitimate.
Oh, yeah, well, you know they're not going to give up anything. And it's amazing. And put it this way, what I'm really worried about is after tomorrow night. That's when you need to worry, because they're going to screw up Washington so badly on the exit.
They'll trash the place.
Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if...
And look what the Bush administration's doing now. I mean, with the stream buffer zone rule, for instance, that we talk about a good deal here. Going out the door, they're literally trying to figure out a way to steal not only the silverware, but the, I don't know, the nails and the screws in the walls.
Mm-hmm. Because he's already signed off some legislation to allow mountaintop removal and a couple other goodies to make sure on the way out. So it'll take years for us to even reform that.
Yeah. Hey, well, it's going to take a generation to get all of the young fundamentalist thugs that have insinuated themselves into civil service out of this government.
Yeah. Out of what is that comic book university law school that?
The Draw Spunky School of Law. Pat Robertson's. What's
that
the,
one and Henry Lee.
Patrick Henry. Yeah.
Right. Now you know none of them are going to be representing use any of the graduates that represent them when it comes to going before congressional hearing.
Yeah, so it's going to – and those people are – our government is just filthy with those weirdos.
Yeah.
So there's not – we're not there yet. God willing, we will be, and we'll start learning this stuff. We'll start learning the nature of the victory tomorrow evening. But what's going to happen – you know, I said that we will be here – until we know the result. What's gonna happen, Kevin, is we at the horn here, we're going to be here until we know that we have either a winner or a thief.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's the only thing we can do. But I what I really want is a filibuster-proof Congress.
It would be, yes. That would be...
And that's what I wanted to put out there. That's what we need to... So any of these people say, give Barack Obama the presidency, but make the Congress Republican? No.
Yeah, I know. There's so much to be done.
That's what Jack Cafferty and the rest of those guys are trying to do.
Well, if you consider things like the Employee Free Choice Act, if you consider things like shoring up Medicare and Medicaid, and finally fixing the nightmare that I believe it was Matt Osborne talked about a week or so ago, the donut hole where people, you know, elderly folks who are on the Medicare Part D prescription drug program are finding out that they are completely screwed.
Mm-hmm.
That's all hard work that has to be done. Let alone things. Oh, by the way, it's Regents University School of Law.
Oh.
Right? Yeah, that from News Ninja Gene. If there's getting out of Iraq, there's getting out of Afghanistan, or at least doing Afghanistan right, which I think is wrong. There's a list of a million things to be done.
Making amends for Syria.
Well, there's that, too. Yeah, and look, there's another case of stealing the silverware on the way out the door. These bloodthirsty thugs are gonna slaughter and murder and pillage and rape and plunder until they are actually forced from office.
Yeah. Yeah. You think Clinton wrote out enough pardons? You wait.
Oh, there's going to be some fun pardons on January the 19th.
Oh, yeah. And like I said, I'm not going to stop worrying until, because then you have that other op, and, you know, I don't want to say it, but, you know, all you need is some right-wing nut job out there who cannot take having Obama for president, which you got to worry for, and a couple of people, dark operatives, who will duck.
Yeah, exactly. So, it
you know.
Well, I mean, obviously, I mean, we've talked about this before. You hear some wing nuttery, but would you do you care to make a prediction?
As far as what?
Tomorrow. I mean, do we get the Congress? Do we get the does it? I mean, is it done?
I don't know. I think we'll get 59.
Yeah,
you know, I hope. Hey, I want 61, but I just don't. I think Ted Stevens, as a crook as he is, he's loved it in Alaska, and those people up there think differently than.
Well, you're using the word thinking, and that may not be entirely appropriate, Kevin.
Exactly. Well, whatever they do up there, it's different than normal human beings, and I'm sorry to say that to anyone who's from Alaska, but. Hey.
No, there are good people that are there, but there are also a lot of these the weirdo wing nuts. I mean, there's stuff that has now come out about there's stuff that's now come out about Sarah Palin's the religion industry crowd that she is affiliated with. The guy that ran the witches out and protected her against the witches. He is part of a literally worldwide movement that, well, it's over at talktoaction.org, and I encourage, it's a long article, and I encourage people just to read it because it's mind-boggling what these people have in store. They literally want to overturn, they want to overturn the Constitution of the United States, and frankly, oh, yeah. they want to own the world.
Oh, yeah. And my closest friend, he's, born again Christian. He is a Christian. And him and I debate on this. And literally, I just have to say, you know, yeah, there is going to be the end of times because some of your people, not all, but a good portion of them, are going to see to it it happens. And because they have the air of government.
Yeah. So...
the only thing I say to him, all you people who think you're going to be disappearing, you're going to be down here with us. A lot of you people, a lot more than you think, are going to be down here with us suffering. So,
well, exactly. So at this point, it's.
So if you think you're just going to disappear out of your body and, you know.
Oh, I know. Whenever I run across one of these people, the fun I have when they say, okay, well, when the rapture comes, are we gonna rapture with our clothes on, or was we gonna get raptured naked? And either way they answer, I tell them I believe the other way and that they're heretics and, you know, and they're going to hell for their, right. Cause it's insanity.
Yeah, and all it is about accumulating power. That's all it is.
And, of course, Paul Krugman had an excellent article today in the New York Times discussing what he calls the rump of the Republican Party, and that is not a pejorative. That's just it's a political term. But he says, you know, they're not going to mollify themselves. They're not going to modify their behavior. They're not going to become more moderate. They're going to become worse than what they are already.
Oh, yeah.
And you know the fact that Mussolini is down there. She was campaigning in Florida. Yeah, you know what the sign said? Florida is Palin country.
Oh yeah.
There wasn't even a mention of John McCain on the poster. This woman's ego has gotten completely all out of bounds. Mm-hmm. So you know, I think we see what the future is going to be.
She's enjoying it, and you know, it's like she's enjoying the part, good or bad, she's enjoying it. And, you know, like the Tina Fey character did, Tina Fey character in Saturday Night Live. Oh, yeah, I'm going to be here in 2012. I'm going to be the White Oprah.
Well, the, you know, here a little bit later, we're going to analyze this this tape of this prank call that she received over the weekend. You know, it was hilarious the first couple of times you listen to it, but then it begins to develop those onion-like layers, if you know what I mean. And in so doing, you begin to see, because at one point when the phony Sarkozy says, I do see you as a president, and she, oh, well, in 8 years, you're, yeah, maybe, and you could just hear her, you could hear the tinkling of the jewels on the tiara, because this is all a beauty pageant to her.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's how dangerously shallow she is.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, maybe by this time tomorrow night we can start exhaling.
A little bit, but. You know, like you said, they never quit. They're like the Max Cady character in Cape Fear.
Yeah, they come back and they come back and they come back. And
you have to stomp them out.
Yeah, political zombies. Exactly. Kevin, good to hear from you, brother.
Okay, but I just want to spread that. You know, make sure people pay attention to the Congress.
Absolutely.
That's where it's at.
And that's you're absolutely right. And it's gonna frankly. I still have misgivings about Nancy Pelosi, but we shall see. We shall indeed see. Thank you, Kevin, and have a great night.
Okay, you too, sir.
All right, bye. Rolling onward. Hi, welcome to the program.
Hey, Brother Bob, how are we?
Hey, what's up, Albert?
You got me quick, so hang on one second.
Okay.
I didn't want any of that reverb going on. Well... You know, you were speaking about the Sarkozy's little prank. My favorite part. Yeah, we can go hunting in the helicopter.
I mean, do you know what he said? Do you know what he said to her in French?
No, what did he say?
We can go and kill the baby seals together.
I didn't catch it, so I highly doubt she did. Because I'll tell you what, she's not in my league of brains. That's funny, Bob. That's hysterical. Well, buddy, I tell you what, change is already here. You know, it's like this change, as I always talk about it, of consciousness. You know me and my ramblings. I can't help it. It can't be helped. But what we're going to be doing here, I just got back from the library. And, you know, took the girls, got some books and, you know, library things.
Yeah.
And I tell you what, election day is tomorrow. And you know how excited everybody is. Everybody's excited. We all feel it. It's palatable. We can taste it. It's delicious. And we know it's coming. And I'll tell you what, my city, my little tiny city, and it is, I'll tell you what, if anything, it would be a little bit red. I mean, there's only 2,000 people and you know how. You know, they breed them in small towns sometimes. But I'll tell you what, buddy. Already, solar panels are being installed on my library and city hall buildings. For a place like this, that's massive. And I sat there and I looked at that and I'm like, wow, it's over. Hey, we won. That's like winning West Virginia. To sit there, I mean, the coal, remember I've been updating with you about that the whole summer, about that coal ash dump and all that other stuff?
Right.
It's gone. It's done. They've just given up. They've given up. It's like they're not going to do it. Now they're going to recycle the ash.
Well, the when the market tanked and they stopped the stupid coal to liquids thing here in West Virginia. Yeah, there are signs that there are signs that we're going to win this thing.
Yeah.
And by win this, I don't just mean the presidential election or even the Congress.
The fine thing, that's the thing.
Yeah, that we're going to shift and change the culture. I don't know if a while back when John Fox and I were talking about it, it was David from Maine who turned us on to this. Saul Williams is a poet, and he's released something, a sort of a poetic thing in anticipation of the election. We'll play it here in a little bit. But, you know, he's talking, and on the one hand, I'm a little bit kind of about it, but But the other, I completely understand the spirit that's behind it, because he's talking about rejecting history. That this this election is a chance to reject history and go forward with a new mindset and a new sense of determination and purpose.
Yes. Oh, it is. It is. I mean, and I don't think anybody owns really anything. I don't own the words coming out of my mouth or that come out of my fingers, and neither do really do you. I mean, it's one of these things where, man, when you sit here and unite under the power of, you know, the survival of the species, the survival of this experiment of life that you and I mean, and I can say it a million times, you can say it a million times, but every time I say it, it's so sharp I can't even feel it. But it's one of those things that never loses its gravity. Is it just the fact that we are sitting here spinning on a planet through space? We don't have words to describe what kind of craziness this is. And for us to continue these bankrupted, greedy, disgusting fantasies of grandeur that these Republicans have been trying to, you know, pull over our eyes and, you know, put the blinders on for us, and for us to try to continue those suicidal things is just, it just can't happen. I mean, literally, you know, there's a reason that I think they don't believe in evolution. You know, I mean, if they could sit there and delude themselves to a degree of that nature, that they can sit there and really honestly not believe in evolution and try to lie to themselves and try to pretend that this planet is 6,000 years old, and then try to, you know, think that, you know, they think they're kidding people. They think they're fooling people when they talk about, oh, he's a terrorist. Like, you know, and I just kind of, I've never had a single one tell me, and they're lucky about that. Maybe national news is lucky that nobody's ever said that to me to my face, but I'll tell you what, you try to say some crap like that, and, you know, you try to pass off these things, man, you just look at somebody and say, listen, buddy, this is not 2002. You know, 2002, I think we're going to look back this time next year, and that will be a bad dream.
Yeah.
You know, it'll still,
that's what tomorrow represents. It represents the chance to, you know, well, you know how it is when you wake up from a nightmare. You first you kind of shake your head and go, whew, and you go, wow, that wasn't real. And you clear the cobwebs out, and then you start putting the nightmare behind you. Tomorrow is the wake up from the nightmare if we can finish the job. But I'm not going to say, I will not celebrate. Look, I'm a West Virginia Mountaineer fan, okay? I don't celebrate victory until the last echo of the final whistle in the game. I have learned by hard experience. And I learned in 2000, too, Albert. 2000 as well, not 2002. I learned in 2000 as well. You know, I watched them call the election for Gore, and it was the straight up call. We know now it was the straight call. But then the fixers and the finaglers and the creepy little thugs who operate in the dark and still of the night and crawl along the dampened moss covered walls, those people kicked in. And the next thing you know, you're shaking your head for the next 8 years trying to wake up. Wake up, wake up.
True.
And you can't wake up out of the nightmare. Tomorrow we wake up.
We do. We not only wake up, I think some of us have been awake for a while. And you see, I think that may be that's the degree of separation that maybe causes a problem for us. You know, it's because we do see these things. And I mean, I'll be totally honest with you, Bob. I'm an honest guy with you. You know, you're my brother here, and I love you like that, and like everybody on the horn and anybody of this kind of mindset. You know, and I'll be real honest with you. You know, 2000, man, I was a young man. I really wasn't paying attention. You know, and I'll be honest with you. I just looked at the election and I said, Bush is going to get it. Why? Well, people are sick of Clinton, and Gore is just a mealy mouth little, you know, he's a stiff. He's like a, you know, he's a rubber sexual toy. And, you know, and he kind of was. You know, I mean, I'll be honest with you. I like Al Gore a lot more now that he didn't win than I did before. Because now he talks from his heart. But you see, before then, Bush was stupid enough that everybody knew he was stupid. And that's why everybody was going, oh, well, let's try for Nader. You know, let's try to get some of these, you know, kind of things. And so everybody kind of got a little, you know, apathetic, or a lot apathetic. And you know, and we certainly, you know, the Clintons fattened us up and the Bushes came in for the slaughter, and, you know, and we know where we're at now. But I really, honestly, just looking at people of the youth that were my age, at this time, you know, in 2000, you know what I mean? The kids that now were 21, 22, 20s, 18. When I look at those ages now, I mean, those people are like 30-year-olds to me when I was that age in terms of, you know, a relation.
Yeah.
I mean, they're so much more, you know, connected and they care. I mean, because in reality, their asses are on the line. I mean, this is their futures totally. You know, they didn't have the .com. Anybody can go get a job, you know, basically, you know, kick somebody's shoe in the street, say, sorry, hey, you want a job? Yeah, okay. I mean, and that's kind of, and I, you know, during the heydays, it was almost like that. It was ridiculous. You know, and it was like the Roaring Twenties or whatever you want to look at it. But I had a mother. She's a single working mother. She came and visited me today. I haven't talked to her for a while. And, you know, she was kind of like, you know, when Obama talks, it just, you know, I feel it in my chest. And she's not one of these people, Bob. Like, you know what I'm saying? She's not one of these people that, you know, really cares at all. I mean, like, I talk to her, you know, oh, you want to talk politics? I talk politics, and you know how I can talk. You know, I'm sure your eyes are doing it. Everybody's eyes are doing it. Everybody's eyes glazes over. Oh, Albert's starting to talk. You know, get the glaze out. I mean,
take it easy, brother. You're too hard on yourself. Hey, Albert, I do have to break in just for a minute, though.
All right, buddy.
Brother, we've got a guest on the line that, and I want to check in on how the Obama campaign's doing here in West Virginia.
Outstanding. All right.
We'll talk to you soon, brother.
Talk to you later. Be good.
Bye. That's our buddy Albert in Wisconsin. The man who reminds us that fear is the mind killer. On the line with us right now, however, is the, West Virginia House of Delegates Majority Whip Mike Caputo, a fine, fine man out of Marion County. And he's been part and parcel of Obama's effort here in West Virginia and took a few minutes of time to call in and speak to us all. Mike, welcome to the program, and thank you for taking your time to hang out with us a little bit.
Oh, buddy, anything I can do. And thank you for the kind introduction, Bob. I haven't been on for quite some time. I thought maybe you guys forgot about me.
Oh, heck no, heck no. We spend so much time raising a ruckus around here that we figure everybody else is probably even busier than we are.
Well, you're doing the Lord's work. I know that. I hear good things about you, and I'm glad you're fighting a good fight. And you know, we're working hard, and I'm going to be working for Barack Obama until the polls close tomorrow. I promise you that.
Well, you know, we've all followed the polls back and forth, and there's been some good polling data indications periodically, but it seems like the rest of the country is at this point just assuming that this state will go for John McCain, which simply turns my brains loose in my head, Mike. What is your sense on the ground?
Well, you know what? I'm not ready to give up yet. I think this election in West Virginia is much closer than people want to, other people, particularly people outside of West Virginia want to make people believe. You know, I worked the Gore campaign, Bob, and I worked the Kerry campaign. And I'm going to tell you what, this campaign has had more energy and more excitement, and, particularly around among UMWA members. They're excited about Barack Obama. I've been at the workplaces, in both southern West Virginia and northern West Virginia, and this campaign has been much easier amongst our membership. And, you know, Barack Obama is right. He's absolutely right on clean coal technology. He is absolutely right on carbon capture and sequestration. Look, we have to be a part of this climate change debate, or we're all going to get left behind. You know, coal is still more than 50% of this nation's energy supplier. And it's not going away anytime soon. And if we want to make sure that we all have jobs here in West Virginia, then I think it's more important now than ever that we support Barack Obama, because he's committed to funding clean coal technology programs and carbon capture and sequestration. And quite frankly, that's what it's going to take to keep our industry alive.
Well, I saw that the McPalin campaign today had a fit over this tape at the San Francisco Chronicle that Matt Drudge claimed had been hidden but was out in plain sight for literally months on end, in which Obama did talk a little bit about cap and trade. and suggest that, you know, we have to take this problem seriously, Mike, because this is a situation where, you know, we know now from the research that was done by one of West Virginia's own research physicians at WVU that the people nearest extraction sites are the sickest in this state. And just doing things the way we did it before is not going to work. And we've got to have some real genius applied to this. And frankly, the McCain campaign doesn't have that, where I think you would agree that the Obama camp and Mr. Obama himself are looking toward a future that has multiple energy solutions in it. Is that fair?
Oh, I think that's more than fair. And, you know, we want to be a part of that mix, that energy mix that Barack Obama talks about. And we believe that there is room for us and for everybody. You know, I had the privilege, quite frankly, to sit down and talk with Senator Obama in a small setting. And I always consider myself a good, pretty good judge of character and having a good gut for things. And I'm going to tell you what, people, I wish they could have heard. He is so in tune with clean coal technology and so in tune with carbon capture and sequestration that he blew me away. I was amazed. And I know he has sat down with President Roberts and our folks in Washington, and we are very comfortable with his position. But, you know, what's happening today is just the typical smear and fear politics of the McCain-Palin ticket, the Bush Cheney ticket, the Karl Rove politics of America. You know, go in and scare the hell out of people and confuse them so bad that you hope they do the wrong thing and vote for those guys. I mean, it's just so typical. I mean, if we want to talk about positions on coal, which is we try to present to our membership, we've been visiting bathhouses for the last 8 weeks, and we're laying facts in our hands. If you want to talk about anti-coal, I mean, John McCain said in a perfect world there would be no coal. His Climate Change Stewardship Act amendment that he introduced would have devastated Appalachian coal. I mean, he is bad for coal, in my opinion, than anybody I've ever seen. But you know, the right wingers and some of the media out there, they take one sentence out of Senator Obama's full text of comments, and I've read it. I'm sure you have. And cap and trade is a very complex and very complicated issue. And they just want to hammer and hammer and hammer on that one issue. When I say, let's talk about, hey, is nuclear the answer? Because John McCain's proposing over 100 nuclear plants. Do you want nuclear plants in your backyard?
Well, and that's the thing. No, I don't want, you know, that's the one, that's the, of all the problems that West Virginia has, mercifully, the one thing we don't have a problem with is having a nuke in our state. And, you know, that influenced me many years ago when I decided to return here.
But I mean, let's just think about coal jobs.
Well,
I mean,
sure.
Let's just talk real people issues. What is nuclear power going to do for coal miners in West Virginia?
Not a blessed thing.
Not a blessed thing. But, you know, I'm sick and tired of the smear and fear. I'm glad people are finally talking about Social Security and health care and minimum wage and people, things that are important to Main Street instead of the things that's been so important to Wall Street all the time. You know?
Absolutely. And, Mike, you know, you mentioned Social Security. Here in West Virginia, we have, if not the oldest, the second oldest population overall in the country.
That's correct.
John McCain declared that Social Security is a disgrace.
He absolutely made that statement, and let me tell you, I have many friends and family members collecting Social Security, and quite frankly, I was personally offended by that remark, as every West Virginian should be. And let's talk about health care. Let's talk about his plan for health care. He wants a tax for the first time ever. I mean, to me, it's just unprecedented to tax employer-paid health care. Now, let's just take the membership that I represent, for example. Let's take a coal miner who is 70 years old, him and his spouse. What do you think it would cost for that to provide those two health care at that age? I mean, none of us could afford it.
No.
But he wants to say, we're going to tax that, and you're going to pay taxes on that as income. Well, that would be more than what their pension check is. But now he's going to give you $5,000 as a tax.
Yeah, don't spend it all in one place.
I mean, I remember the fuzzy math scenario. Now, I'm going to tell you, there's something real fuzzy about that math. That to me is, in West Virginia, we take pride in our members' health care plans, cradle-to-grave health care that we fought and many members of this union died for. And he comes in and says he wants to tax it? Come on.
No, that's crazy. That's just nuts.
Hey, Mike. People need to know this, and they need to hear this. And I'm confident that the West Virginia voters are going to do the right thing tomorrow. I'm confident that the early voter turnout has been overwhelming, and I got to think they're excited about Barack Obama, because there sure, in my opinion, isn't anything to get excited about with the McCain-Palin ticket.
No, there's no – the only excitement on that ticket is the excitement that's generated by a bunch of bigots and racists who go to her strange little rallies. Let me pass along a quick compliment, if you don't mind. You have a long association, a proud association with the United Mine Workers. I'm the son, grandson, great-grandson, grandnephew, et cetera, of UMWA miners. And I want to tell you, Mike, next time you get a chance to talk to those folks up there in Monongalia County, you tell them how proud we are, for the day that they stood up and shut down. Over the company's attempt to let the NRA come in and try to sleaze up Obama. I got a real thrill in my heart when I saw that happened, and it made me proud of every last one of them.
Buddy, I'll pass that along, and we're proud of that too. You know, that was a decision that people need to know. That wasn't made by us at the international level or these folks at the district level. The local union come in here and said, you know, we are not going to put up with this. You know, we go to the bathhouses and we communicate with our members and our members only. We don't go to in the bosses' dressing rooms. We don't talk to the secretaries. We communicate with our members, and they've invaded our space, and they have tried to divide our membership, and we're not going to take it, and we're shutting this operation down. And by God, that's what they've done. And I'm going to tell you, I couldn't have been any prouder of them. And I don't know if you read the I think it's Politico blog. I think it was Politico one. We got hundreds and hundreds of emails and compliments on us standing up to the NRA. And I'm going to tell you something. You know, I'm endorsed by the NRA. I'll tell you that. I don't know how they just endorsed me. But you know what? I don't like their tactics. I don't like their smear and fear. I don't like what they're trying to the gun issue hasn't been near as bad as it was 4 or 8 years ago. But to come in here and say that Senator Obama or any politician, for that matter, is going to take your guns, you know, West Virginians, they're smarter than that. They're not buying into that. They know that that's not going to happen. It's more smear and fear. I want to talk issues. They want to talk wedge. You know, you want to talk about Social Security. They want to talk about taking guns. You know, it just goes on and on because they are so wrong on issues that are important to West Virginia families.
Well, they don't have any, do they, Mike? I mean, they've had the Congress since 1994 to 2006. They've had the presidency for 8 years, and we've seen what they have to offer. And it's actually, I think, you got to get into some higher math. It's less than zero, isn't it?
Now, absolutely. I mean, let's just take the deficit for example. You know, when President Clinton left office, he left this country with the largest deficit, or largest surplus in the history of this nation. And 8 years later, George Bush and company, with the help of John McCain, is leaving our children and our grandchildren with the largest deficit this country has ever seen. Now, come on. I mean, let's talk real issues here. I don't understand why. I don't even understand how it can be close. People, I hope tomorrow are going to get to the polls and they're going to say, is this country better off today than we was 4 years ago? Or are we better off than we were 8 years ago? And I mean, the answer to that is absolutely not. And we have to vote for change. We have to vote for Barack Obama and Joe Biden, because I'm going to tell you what, this country can't stand 4 more years of George Bush. And that's exactly what they're going to get with John McCain. I mean, here's a guy who voted with him 90% of the time. And I heard somewhere the other day Cheney endorsed him. Well, you know, all he had to do to get his endorsement was vote with him 90% of the time. So, you know, I don't know if I would have embraced that one or ran from it. But, you know, I just think it's a simple choice. I think we got to talk bread and butter. We got to talk Main Street and not Wall Street. And people are going to go to polls, and I really feel confident, Bob, they're going to do the right thing tomorrow.
Well, I know you've been all over the state, Mike, I saw an article, either, I think it was the Washington Post or maybe the New York Times, talking with particularity about down Mingo County way,
mm-hmm.
You know, where you had a rock-solid base for Hillary Clinton. Have you been able to make any headway with those folks? I mean, when I saw a car going down the road the other day, and it had one of those ubiquitous stickers that you see in this state particularly that said Christian and Democrat, and then right underneath it had a McCain-Palin sticker. Of course, this wasn't a new car. This was an old car. It was dirty. It was banged up. It had a bunch of dents and scratches on it.
Now, it wasn't my car.
It sounds like mine, too. But, you know, what I'm talking about, though, is somebody who's obviously working class, whose political world has just rotated, 180 degrees away from normal. Have y'all been? And it's been you. I know Kenny Perdue over at West Virginia AFL-CIO has been out there. I know that people from the political world have been out there. Are you seeing the attitudes begin to shift? Have you seen them turn?
Let me tell you, I did the Southern West Virginia tour with Kenny and Cecil Roberts and Jim Bowen and John Perdue and Glenn Gaynor, Natalie Tennant. I mean, we beat that drum, and I'm going to tell you, I felt good. Let me tell you, when I left Southern West Virginia that day, I felt good. We was in Logan County, Bob, and we had the buses pulled over to Logan County Mall was where the rally point was, and there was a gentleman standing in the middle of the road, and I'm going to tell you he was African-American because he was, and I don't like to bring that into play, but just for sake of it fits the story so well, I got to mention that. He was standing in the middle of the road in Logan County, West Virginia, with an armful of Barack Obama yard signs, and in the other hand, he had bumper stickers. And people were stopping and taking those signs. And he would say, sir, if you want me to, I'll put this bumper sticker on your car right now. And many people put that car up in park. He walked back here and put that bumper sticker on their bumper. And they were giving us the thumbs up and cheering us on in Logan County, West Virginia. I'm going to tell you what, when we left there, we felt good. We was in Williamson. We was in Welch. We was in Princeton. We was in, oh, my God, I can't even remember all the stops, Beckley. Everywhere we went, the excitement was there. And I'm going to tell you what, they may not be screaming it from every rooftop in Southern West Virginia, but I'm telling you, I believe they're voting for Barack Obama. I truly believe that.
Well, I have some reason to hope. I really do. The fact that the number of young people that are going to be voting, and while we do have an old population, we got a lot of young folks in this state,
you know,
too, and they need hope.
Absolutely. And these polls, you know, that are being conducted, there's a group of voters out there that are being left out of all these polls. And they are young folks who have two children that they don't have landlines. They just have cell phones. And how many people out there are not being polled that only have a cell phone? And they're excited about this campaign. So, I think her hope is on the horizon. And I think, West Virginia has an excellent chance of going blue. I'm not by any means saying it's a slam dunk, but I'm going to tell you we're a heck of a lot closer today than I thought we would have been 3 months ago.
That's the absolute truth, Mike, and we've got a heck of a lot better chance at a meaningful future.
You know, and they're really grasping at straws with this coal statement, and I mean, you know, it's just so typical. And you know, I'm sure the coal industry, Bill Rainey and company, has climbed all over to. I haven't read any of their position statements yet, but I'm sure they're all over it. And it's just so typical. Believe me, I hope all your listening audience can feel as comfortable as the UMW can, because I know everybody in West Virginia has friends in this industry, whether they work directly in a mine or they work at a machine shop or they own the mom and pop's general store down a corner and they depend on coal miners stopping in there and buying their lunch cakes and packing their dinner bucket. I'm telling you, I, in my heart, feel that coal will boom under Obama and Joe Biden, because clean coal technology is the future of our industry, and these folks are serious about
it. Well, I tell you what, Mike, if coal does boom here in West Virginia, I want it to be something that lifts up the United Mine Workers, because we learned hard lessons at places like Sago and Aracoma for the tragedies that can ensue in a mine where workers do not have a collective voice like they do in a union mine, and I don't want any more of those. And frankly, we've seen, among other things, and these are hard statistical facts, we have seen from 1980 to 2008, we've seen what mountaintop removal has done to the mining industry here. We had hundreds of thousands of miners in 1980. We have a dramatically lower number than that now, and it's because of the fact that organizations like Massey, that hates a union like the devil hates God, has come in and taken away what was tried to do away with what was an honorable calling in going beneath the earth. In exchange for the mechanized destruction and death that they can do with just a handful of non-union workers. So, well, you know, if that boom comes, I want it to be something that gives real benefit to West Virginians, and that happens when it's a UMWA job going underground.
Well, you know, and I'm not going to debate the mountaintop issue, Bob, with you. You know, we have members who work at those mines, and they're fine human beings, and they're out there doing their job, and they're mining coal legally under the law. So, you know, I respect those guys, and they're doing their job, and that debate, I guess, can be held another day. But right now we got an election to win, and you know, I agree with all your Massey statements. You know that. You know how I
yep.
feel. Don Blankenship tried to buy himself a legislature 2 years ago, and that one didn't quite work for him, and he hadn't reared his ugly head this year, at least publicly. I'm sure he's the final.
Well, before I do let you go, Mike, and I appreciate the time that you spent with me, let me ask you one last thing. We've spent a lot of time, and justifiably so, with regard to the presidential election, but it's been my perception, at least from my vantage point here in West Virginia, In my eyes, one of the most critical elections on the ticket is the West Virginia Supreme Court. We have a Supreme Court right now that I wouldn't trust three members of which I wouldn't trust with a dead skunk. And Menace Ketchum and Peggy Workman have got to have our votes tomorrow, because frankly, if Mary Beth Walker gets in, that's going to be another ally for Brent Benjamin.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, Menace and Margaret, the M&M team, is certainly what the people need to have a fair court, not a corporate court. They're just middle of the road. They're going to be there doing their job, and no one will own Margaret Workman, Menace Ketchum, and they'll do a fine job. And West Virginians need to get out and support those folks, because, you know, Beth Walker will probably be a Brent Benjamin, as you say, and a Massey disciple. But, you know, one other race we need to talk about, and I hope you can give me a couple more minutes.
Absolutely.
Here, Daryl McCall.
Absolutely.
I mean, you know.
Oh, Mike.
Let's follow the money. I mean, that's what I tell people out there. Follow the money. The West Virginia Chamber of Commerce is devoted, the last number I got was somewhere in the tune of $694,000 to defeat Daryl McGraw. Now, why do they want to defeat him? Because he protects the consumer, and they don't like that. They don't like decisions that protect the consumer. So I always tell people, when you see these slick ads coming, and they're coming one after another, and you say, my God, because I had one of those ran against me 2 years ago by Don Blankenship. Follow the money. If you like who's paying for those ads, if you support those people, then you're probably going to vote that way. But if you look at these ads being paid for by out-of-state firms, out-of-state companies, the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, the West Virginia Chamber of Commerce, you got to say, are these folks looking out for my best interest, or are they looking out for the best interest of big business? And the answer is real clear. I'm telling you, Daryl McGraw is a fine man.
I have known him for years, and I couldn't agree with you more.
Cares deeply about West Virginia and her citizens, and there is nobody no better economic development tool than Daryl McGraw, because he brought billions into the state under the tobacco settlement and other lawsuits to protect us as West Virginians. We cannot make that mistake. We have to elect Daryl McGraw.
We absolutely have to. And let me ask you one last question, because this relates to the Daryl McGraw campaign. You know, we run a business. And we have, you know, the line that you dialed in on is the business line for this organization. I've been getting robocalls to the business line, Mike, from this sleazy outfit in D.C. called the Center for Individual Freedom.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course,
let's talk about them for a second. I mean, they're the ones that caused us the chaos in the legislature because they don't want to disclose where the money comes from when they run these slick ads. I mean, I'm all for transparency, and I'll protect your First Amendment rights till the day I die. But in the world of politics, I have to disclose where every penny of my money comes from. And if you want to get involved in politics, then in my opinion, you need to show where your money comes from too. I think it's only fair. The public needs to know who's paying for this stuff. And you know, they're saying that we are hampering their freedom of speech. I say the only thing they want to do is put a veil over their face so West Virginia doesn't know who's paying for those ads.
Well, I think you're absolutely right, and the more that you guys do in the legislature to curtail this stuff, the happier I and a lot of West Virginians will be, because, frankly, you know, they do this under the guise of freedom of speech, Mike, but their freedom of speech is impinging on mine, because freedom of speech is not just to speak but to not be spoken to. And as such, you know, West Virginians, because of these robocalls, and not just West Virginians, it's happening all over the country, the push polling, all of that garbage, we have to cower and hide from our telephones. And, you know, I remember when it was Don Blankenship doing it a couple of years ago, as you referenced. There's got to be some way of balancing their freedom of speech with my right not to be spoken to.
Yeah, I agree. I just hate when they can throw the millions and millions of dollars. They really, voter apathy is, so much of it's created because of that. And, you know, it brings people down. I mean, I was looking at the ads they were running against me 2 years ago, and I'm thinking, man, maybe I shouldn't even vote for myself if I'm that bad, you know? And I mean, just garbage.
It makes you wonder why your children love you.
Yeah, it does. It absolutely does. And, you know, and quite honestly, when, you know, you're running a House of Delegates race, we live in our communities and our families live there. We're not insulated like Congress is. You know what I mean? We're there. We have lunch every day. We go grocery shopping. We go to church. And you got to wonder, is this little old lady that I grew up beside, is she believing this? You know what I mean? Who used to give me cookies when I was a little kid and invite me to her house, does she think that, you know, that I'm this evil guy that, you know, these big money ads are saying I am? And it hurts. I'm not going to lie to you. It hurts.
Sure it does. I mean, you got to have an alligator hide to do politics, but even an
absolutely
alligator's hide can be got through.
I hear you.
So,
how are Democrats in Raleigh going to do the House race?
I'll be honest with you, Mike. I'm hopeful. I'm seriously hopeful, but, Raleigh's always a tough call because of all the places in West Virginia to have an enclave of just weird right wingism, that place, I don't know if it's in the water or the soil or what, but you know, you can never get entirely free of it. You know, I would love nothing more than to see that Republican woman, what's her name? Linda Sumner. I'd love nothing more than see her just, you know, go back to teaching or whatever it is she does. And get some meaningful representation going there.
Well, we're certainly rooting for a Democrat sweep up there. I think you've got some good Democrats running up there, and I know they've been working hard. I look for Sally to come back. And
I do, too.
Bill Wooten will join us in the House of Delegates. And, you know, they're working hard, and we can only hope. So I'd love to see them all make it down to Charleston. And, you know, we've got a progressive House now with the new Speaker, Rick Thompson, and the new leadership team. And we're moving in a direction that I never got to see in the first 10 years I've served in the House. Rick Thompson is a tremendous speaker. You can go in and talk to him. You can go talk to committee chairs. It's funny, we promised more debate. And the floor is open for debate, but people's getting their issues worked out with their committee chairs and in committee, so, you know, they're happy.
In other words, the system's working.
Yeah. They're absolutely able to go talk to the speaker now, and he's listening.
I think it's clear that that progressive that change in this state is going to come from the House of Delegates. So you know, I look for y'all to be the leadership of an occasionally rumpish West Virginia Senate. There's some good ones there, but there's a lot of people that hold up progress there as well. And I'm proud for the good things that y'all do accomplish in the House of Delegates.
I'm
look
real
for
proud
more.
Of that House leadership team. We're going to miss our buddy Joe DeLong, and you know, he was a great guy, and I think he's going to have a future in politics in West Virginia someday. But you know, we fought hard to take over that House, and there were many people that didn't give us the time of day, but everybody was ready for a change, and it was a very, very pleasant change. So I'm happy to be a part of that.
Well,
you
I
know
got
what?
You.
Let's go out tomorrow. Let's elect Barack Obama and Joe Biden. And in my opinion, we go hit that straight Democrat ticket. Like my dad said, just scratch under the rooster and let the rooster do the rest of the scratching for you.
That's so right.
Let's vote Democrat tomorrow, and I think we'll be better off as a nation. And
hopefully by about this time tomorrow night, Mike, we'll start talking about what the future looks like with President Obama.
I'm with you. So
I think you might be
on after the win, and we'll talk about that.
All right, that sounds great, Mike, and thanks again for taking so much of your time this evening. I sincerely appreciate it, and all the hard work that's gone in by Democrats and labor leaders in trying to ensure a West Virginia victory for Obama, I have the deepest hope and fondest wish that that will come true, and that you guys' hard work will be paid off.
Well, it's always fun to campaign for someone you really believe in your heart is going to make the world a better place. And I'm telling you, I've been putting in 18-hour days. My wife, sometimes she don't recognize me when I come home. I'm going so long, but I'm going to tell you what, she's working hard too. It's a family effort. I got a son in Akron, Ohio, working for the AFT right now on temporary leave, working for the Obama campaign. And I'm telling you, this family of mine's in it, and we want a better West Virginia. We want a better country. And I know a lot of people just like me. And it's fun. When you believe in someone as much as we believe in Barack Obama, it is fun to go out there and work for him. So I just hope we're toasting our glasses tomorrow evening and dancing around the hall.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Mike Caputo, and take care, and we'll talk soon.
Okay, buddy. Thanks for having me on.
All right. Bye now. That is House Majority Whip, Democrat from Marion County, West Virginia, Mike Caputo. And they really have. They have gone out and busted their humps to change attitudes in this state. And if we have a successful outcome tomorrow, it will be in large part due to the efforts of Democrats and labor leaders like Mike Caputo, like Kenny Perdue at the AFL-CIO, and like the extraordinary West Virginians, that is, the folks who go to work every day and carry this state as well as this nation on their backs. That will be where that victory comes from. If you're on the line, please stay that way. We're going to take a quick break and come right back. Your calls, of course, there are lines open. Jump right in. 877-443-2366, 877, the numeral 4, head on, and 304-658-3333 on your nickel. What are you looking for in these next 12 to 24 hours? Are you just sitting back and saying, made it? Or is there one last little bit of work to be done? Or are you icing the champagne? Or any combination of the above? That I think is a fitting topic for conversation. I had this forwarded on to me by our buddy David in South Carolina. He's a big fan of the drive-by truckers, just like I am and just like many Horn listeners are. It was a message posted at the website by Patterson Hood. It's called Uncle Phil and Aunt Phyllis in the Month After the Election. He said, I wrote this song a week after the 2004 presidential election. I was in a state of semi-shock and near depression as my daughter's birth was impending, and I was depressed to think of her born into the world during a Bush presidency. It was recorded live in the studio at Chase Park Transduction with me on the microphone, me being Patterson, David Hood, my dad on the bass guitar, Johnny Neff playing some sleazy-sounding electric guitar, Brad Morgan playing the drums, and David Barb on the B3. It was late at night, and everyone's spirits were high. I'm throwing this out as my election week gift to you. Please get out and vote. I'll be voting for Obama because I think he has the guts, vision, judgment, and smarts to guide us through these troubled times and help America regain her prominence in the 21st century. It's time for a change, and not 4 more years of bullshit. Junior's wrapped the Camaro around too many telephone poles, and it's time to take his keys away. Long live American democracy. Respectfully yours, Patterson Hood. Give a listen, Uncle Phil and Aunt Phyllis, in the month after the election. This is America's liberal voice, listener supported. This is The Horn.
Phyllis's dog kept thinking that Phil was hurting her and would jump on the bed and bite Phil on the ass as they went at it like wild pigs in heat. Eventually they adopted little Chang, but he wasn't much of a talker. Later still, during those zany Jimmy Carter years, they, as folks with good intentions sometimes do, moved to Florida to be closer to Phil's family. Unfortunately, within 6 months, all of Phil's family there died, and they were left stranded in that godforsaken place. Phyllis always said that she loved living near the water, but I don't think she's actually seen the beach in at least 22 years. Between her migraines and psoriasis, the sun has lost all its appeal. Scholarship to some almost Ivy League school and was never seen again. Phyllis is a secretary for a very rich but mysterious Floridian that she likes to hint works for the mob. Phil worked his 9-to-5 daily grind until that massive coronary. Now he just sits around and eats, no doubt hoping to finish the job that medical science interfered with. Phyllis likes to eat too, adding a good 150 pounds to her frame. Phyllis does still love her liberal causes. She once got so worked up watching President Clinton speak that she defied her menopause and began menstruating uncontrollably for 16 days straight. She ended up in the emergency room at the National Enquirer. For Phil, all of this is just proof that the end is near, and good riddance. Last Saturday, he passed an entire 12-pound Thanksgiving turkey out his ass. For about 46 hours, it had been lodged somewhere in his small intestine, and he refused to go to the hospital. Friday evening, he began dilating. Saturday morning, the water broke. Phyllis always hated that living room rug, and now she's getting a new one. When Reagan was first first elected in 1980, Phil and Phyllis and Young Chang all retreated into an abyss of New Age religion and philosophy. They hoped they could perhaps mandrake him out of office. But it was around 1983 when Phil started having chest pains, and on November of the next year, Phyllis was mortified to find out that the man she had married and loved for 14 years had voted against the Mondale ticket. It was only a matter of time before they were sleeping in separate bedrooms and eating their breakfast in near silence. Phil began listening to talk radio all day and night and would quote it to her whenever she walked by. Phyllis had a brief but meaningless affair with a golf caddy named El Camino that she met at Publix. Phil, it's been said, hasn't had an erection since 1985, but he did buy a really fast convertible and can be heard playing Don Henley tapes at full volume as he squeals around the curves of their suburban cul-de-sac. Now on election years, Phyllis volunteers for the most liberal candidates. She clocks miles and miles on her ragged-out Volvo, putting signs all over the countryside. Phil put a W sticker next to his NRA sticker, but his car is otherwise immaculate. He has been known to spend days on end at his computer sending email after email to friends and relatives. On election day eve, Phyllis made Phil his favorite casserole, laced with enough Xanax to leave him comatose for at least 3 days. Phil, however, was suspicious and fed most of it to their cats, rendering them all unconscious for a week and a half. He retaliated by hiding her dentures and rearranging the wires to the distributor cap on her 87 wagon. He left for the polling place at the crack of dawn, leaving her still snoring on the Tempur-Pedic. Always successfully cancel each other's vote. They'll stay up all night watching the returns on separate TV sets. And when her candidate eventually concedes, she will eat the rest of the leftover casserole herself, hoping to sleep through the next 4 years. But by Thursday, she'll be back at work with a pharmaceutical hangover and a bad case of indigestion.
Thinking ahead means preparing for the future of our children, our grandchildren, and our wild, wonderful West Virginia. Developing our renewable energy resources is the best way to ensure a clean, sustainable way of life and safe, good-paying jobs for generations to come. Here in the Mountain State, our most abundant energy resource is the wind. Our ridges and majestic mountain peaks shape and direct the wind like stones in a mountain stream. Coal River Mountain is the ideal place for developing wind power. The Coal River Mountain Wind Farm will provide us with a source of clean energy and good jobs forever. We have the power to make our future happen now. Be a part of the clean energy solution for West Virginia by visiting coalriverwind.org or call 304-854-2182. That's coalriverwind.org, 854-2182.
We know you want to save big on your phone bill, and we know how you can.
That's right.
We do.
We're saving more than 50% on our home phone bill since we switched to CityNet's digital phone plan.
Really? Over 50%?
CityNet's digital phone plan is only $24.95 a month.
Only $24.95?
You get unlimited local and long-distance calling.
Just $24.95?
And with CityNet's digital phone plan, you keep your current number. All you need is a high-speed internet connection. Get details at citynet.net.
$24.95.
And, oh, this is cool. With CityNet's digital plan, I can use my home phone anywhere in the world with high-speed internet. No extra cost.
There's 20, and there's 4, and there's 95.
Did I mention CityNet is a West Virginia-owned company?
Did I mention $24.95?
Save at least 50% on your residential phone. Get unlimited local and long distance, and keep your same number, all for just $24.95 a month. Visit citynet.net today for more details. Some exclusions and restrictions may apply.
It's your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're head-on with Bob Kincaid.
That last from the mind of Patterson Hood. Uncle Phil and Aunt Phyllis. In the months after the election. To be inside the mind of Patterson Hood would be, wow, what a trip that would be. Hope you enjoyed it. Yeah, you did. That's just stunning. Stunning stuff. Storytelling. A precious commodity in so-called... Well, not so-called, but in the corporatized music world of today. Awful glad there's folks like Patterson out there and Mike Cooley and DDPs. Makes my life better. 16 minutes past the hour, and let's go straight to the phone. Juanita is with us. Juanita, I'm sorry you had to wait so long.
Oh, that was fun. I enjoyed that music. What do you call it? Recitation?
Well, yeah, it was like spoken word poetry with accompaniment.
Yeah, I really like that. Yeah, that's a player, a ganner.
Yeah, I think so. I think so.
I just want to put my little two bits in worth before the election.
Okay.
You ever heard that? I'm sure you've heard Dale saying, "You're in between the devil and the deep blue sea."
Mm-hmm.
I used to think that was a terrible place to be, but I figured, finally this year it came to me that if you're between the devil and the deep blue sea, if you choose the devil, you don't have a chance. Now, that's speaking as somebody that, you know, believes in God and all. But if you go in the deep blue sea, you might learn to swim really fast, or you might be rescued. So you've got a chance. So that's the way I'm looking at this election. I mean, I hope it's not as drastic as choosing the devil, but I'm concerned if McCain and them got in. I have heard him say he would have be consulting or even have him working in his office, Dick Cheney.
Oh, and that just gives me the shudders.
That's frightening. And I don't think he's going to be free of the powers that be now if he does get in. I just don't. That's another thing that I've thought about. I've been thinking about it for a long time.
You know, there's that, and then there's just the issue of the fact that John McMelanoma won't see the end of his presidency. Even if I was inclined to vote for him,
yeah.
Which I'm not, Juanita, if I was inclined to even give consideration to voting for John McCain, Sarah Palin would stop me cold.
Right.
I mean, dead in my tracks.
Yep.
Because knowing what we know now after this prank phone call over the weekend, oh my God, she's an imbecile. She really, really is an imbecile. And the idea that she would have access to the nuclear football, the nuclear codes.
Mm-hmm. I think she is has had a sheltered life. I really do.
Yeah,
I don't really know that, but she strikes me as having a sheltered life because a lot of things she says she she doesn't realize she could make people enemies, you know, and, you know, or get people upset. And, you know, but she just about her, what she thinks, and then the rest of it is lies about the her opposition. And I haven't really heard her tell the truth. I don't know about her family, but, you know, about her telling the truth about her family, but whatever. It's just, I just don't like that. And I think John McCain has turned into a big liar, too.
He, at this point in time, he will say anything. He's like that line out of, is it in Acts, Juanita, where Paul says, I am all things to all people?
Yeah.
It's that.
Something, I don't know where it is, but it's something. He said something like that, yeah.
So he's trying to be that, but there's no... There's no real way of. All we know is that all we can do is base an estimate of John McCain on his past practices, and his past practices have been to be an absolute lickspittle. For some of the most horrific policymakers that this country has ever known, and you know we've had some bad ones. But the Bush administration these last 8 years has absolutely been a trip to the bottom of the cesspool.
Right.
And John McCain had jumped right in behind him.
Yeah.
And we can't stand that anymore. You know, you talk about the difference between the devil and the deep blue sea. You know, that by no stretch of the imagination will I ever suggest that that Barack Obama is my idea of a liberal.
Yeah, that's why it took me a while.
But he
to
is
come around for him.
Right, but he is light years better.
Oh yeah. And I'm really get more and more impressed with him all the time.
There's no getting around how impressive he is. He's brilliant.
Yeah.
And we need another smart guy in the White House. 8 years of a bumbling moron, we should have seen by now how bad that can be. This is, you know,
I sure have.
Yeah, I mean the presidency is not some sort of what it's well it's not like the presidency of Iran where you have no power to influence government.
Yeah.
This isn't running some little bicycle shop on the corner greasing chains. This is real hard work. You know, they said that Bill Clinton, for whatever faults he may have had, and Lord knows if I look in the chat room, people will be willing to tick them off one by one by one, or listeners in email, whatever, and there were plenty of faults. But for all his faults, he was actually trying. You know, the guy was sleeping 3-4 hours a night.
Yeah.
And he wanted to have a hand on everything.
Yeah.
Because he was smart enough to contemplate that kind of stuff. Obama's the same way. Obama may actually be smarter.
Probably the only one I know recall being as smart, being really smart, was Kennedy.
Yeah.
And they were all readers, vociferous readers, you know, like Clinton and I'm sure Obama. I mean, if he's not well read, I don't know who he is. But he has a calming effect on people, too. He's got a kindness about him.
Yeah, he does. There's an essential decency about him that comes through. You know, in his unwillingness to, he has been called into the political cesspool time and time again this season, and through the primaries as well. And he has consistently refused to go. He made some horrific mistakes, especially in the primary. I don't know if he would sit back and say that he regrets them. But the one thing I'm certain of is that he learns from them. You know, when he cozied up to that preacher in for his rallies in South Carolina during the primary seasons, the guy who thought that being gay was a disease, that was sickening to me.
Yeah, he lost some votes there. Right there. I don't think he's regained them either. The ones that I know about.
Yeah, but you know, there's it's all the difference in the world between having a chance and having no chance at all.
Yeah.
And you know, I'll spend the dollar on the lottery ticket to have the chance.
Yeah.
But you cannot win if you do not play. And frankly, there's no chance at all of America getting better under John McCain, where there is at least the opportunity and the possibility and the potential for improvement under Barack Obama.
And he wants, McCain, he wants all those old school people, you know, just like Bush had, just like, I guess, Nixon had. You know, please, I'm just sick of it.
Well, look, I mean, Rumsfeld and Cheney both literally sat at the feet of their master, Richard Nixon, and learned the worst kinds of filthy politics from him and his ilk.
Yeah.
And they have been around with their finger in the repig-licking pie since the 1970s. And it is time, it's time to open up the doors and sweep all that filth out into the night.
It is, yes.
Where the buzzards and the rats and the flies and the creepy crawly things can do what they do and get rid of that garbage.
Yeah. And, you know, I've heard them talking. I heard somebody talking today about it, that they were afraid that if Obama lost that the blacks would riot. Well, I'm afraid if he wins that the religious right will riot because they've threatened to.
Look, I think everybody understands, Juanita, I would hope that they do, that the religious right are physically, determinedly dangerous. You know, we've seen several incidents this year where people who were perceived as being liberal have been killed, brutally murdered by right-wingers. But you can't, you know, the mainstream or the for-profit only media won't come out and say that because they don't want to alienate their viewers or their advertisers because they have to deliver viewers to advertisers in order to keep making their monumental salaries.
Right.
But yeah, these people are dangerous, and even the Secret Service acknowledged that they have stopped more plots to do away with Barack Obama than have even made it into the press.
I heard somewhere 500 threats.
I wouldn't be surprised in the least. In fact, that might even seem to be a rather low number if you get right down to it. Because this nation is still awash in the poison that is racism. We have not eradicated it. We have not eliminated it. And this campaign has shown it to us in stark relief, Juanita, that it is still there. It is still as virulent as it ever was, and it is still as toxic and dangerous.
Mm-hmm. I'd like to say something in defense of Clinton.
Yeah, sure.
He had a Democratic Congress when he went in. But a lot of them, the Southern Democrats especially, and maybe some of the Northerns too, people in the South and all were so against, Clinton, till they didn't want to help him out. You know, he only started really getting anything much done when, the Republicans went in, and he worked along with them, and he gave in to them some, but he got a lot accomplished. But he didn't have the free reign that I'm hoping that Obama will have.
No, he didn't, and there's a cartoon that Bart Kopp over at BartKopp.com has been running for as long as he's been up on the Internet, and Lord knows he's one of the granddaddies of the idea of a liberal wing of the Internet. That shows, it's an editorial cartoon that shows a big old butcher knife sticking out of Bill Clinton's back, and the butcher knife is labeled Democratic Congress.
Yeah. And that was also true with Kennedy, but in a way more so.
You know what? I actually look for, and I hate to say this because I don't want to be overly negative, but I look for Barack Obama to have a harder time with Nancy Pelosi than George Bush did.
I'm wondering, too. I was thinking that same thing.
Because when you've got, she'll see this as an opportunity to consolidate her power as well.
Yeah.
And, you know, she and Harry Reid both laid down and rolled over and waited for Bush to scratch their tummies. You know, every time he said, I want a few billion more for the war, they said, no, okay.
Yeah. You think, well, maybe they're going to stand up for we the people, and then, nope, we always got let down.
Yeah. You know,
and them controlling the purse strings, they could have done helped a lot, a whole lot. Because, you know, that money wasn't going for our troops. Our troops don't get what they're supposed to get. They don't yet get what they're supposed to get. It was going to the military complex and others with their sticky fingers in the spout or whatever.
I saw a number the other day about how many billions we have spent on how many different so-called private contractor firms in Iraq.
Yeah.
And Juanita, it was absolutely sickening.
Oh, it is sickening. It really is. It's sickening. They could have gone in to Afghanistan and helped those people out like they claimed they did. They could have helped them out. They've harmed them in a way more so than they were before. Because we went to Iraq. And then Iraq, those people have been through horrendous things. And I don't care if some of them have got money. I don't care. They deserve it. Because we stole from those people. We tried to steal their souls. Our country tried to steal their souls.
And everything else that wasn't nailed down and some that was.
Yeah. Yeah. And, but anyway, I'm just hoping and I will just be so delighted and I know I'm going to be down if he doesn't. But you know what? I believe that he will fight it if it looks fishy. I don't think he'll do like Kerry. I don't.
I hope he will. Because
Kerry just gave up too easy.
Well, yeah, he just folded his tents and left. And I'm still angry about that.
Yeah.
Brad Friedman has published some stuff that gives gives one a moment to pause about the Obama campaign's approach to election irregularities. But I hope that they choose to do the right thing if there's a problem. Although one of Obama's lead attorneys said that these reports of dummied up voting machines and vote flipping and all of that stuff, he referred to it as merely hyperbole.
Oh, sure.
And that's disturbing to me. That is truly disturbing.
Yeah. Who did you say that was?
Let me see here. It'll take me just a second here, but I think I can pull it up. Well, doggone it, I don't see it. But, there it is. Let's see,
Oh, well.
No, I'm going to have it here just in a second. Oh, his name is Bob Bauer. He says.
Who is he?
He is Obama Democratic National Committee lead counsel. That means he's the top lawyer. And he says that concerns about creepy election rigging machines are hyperbole.
Yeah.
So, that makes the point clear, Juanita. It's up to us.
Yeah.
All right. It is up to the people who cast ballots to see to it that their ballots are doggone well counted and counted properly and accurately.
Right.
And in the final analysis, that's how it ought to be. Because if we won't fight for our own votes. Why did we even bother going to the polls? And I'm not trying to keep anybody from voting. Vote, dadgummit. Vote, vote,
right,
vote, vote,
right,
vote.
Right.
But be willing to fight for your vote. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, heavens to Betsy, when Oprah Winfrey goes to vote and gets her vote flipped and gets her vote disappeared on a touchscreen machine.
Uh-huh.
I didn't
know that.
Oh, yeah. She says it was her fault. But it wasn't. It's the daggum machines.
Yeah.
A vote flipping.
Well, they're so easy to fix. You know, somebody that's got the least bit of hacking can do it.
Yeah. Exactly. So
when I was taking some college courses, they were always getting their computers hacked into. These kids just want to show how smart they were.
And if that's what kids wanting to show how smart they are can do, Juanita, what can somebody with real evil intent accomplish?
Right, absolutely. But a lot of people think, well, they never lie. The computers never lie. Well, the computers are just whatever man makes them to be, at least for now. They may become control freaks in the future, but not right now.
Yeah, exactly. So
I want to tell you a little bit about The View.
Oh, yeah, please.
You know, Saturday Night Live, they had a thing on The View. Did you see that? Or
no, I didn't see it. I read a little bit about it, but I haven't gotten to see it yet.
Well, you know, the heavyset black guy, he played a whoopee. And then that one other guy asked for a boot. He played, in other words, they had guys playing Whoopi and Joy. And then I think Jennifer Aniston was there, and I don't remember her saying much of anything, so they didn't have anybody playing Sherry and or Barbara. But the one that played Elizabeth, she had her down pat. She was so good. Her voice wasn't quite as strident. But she had her down. Let me finish.
I did see the clip of Ben Affleck doing Keith Olbermann, and I got to admit that was humorous.
he's good. But you know, they weren't upset about it being guys betraying them. But the guy that writes that Meyer.
Mm-hmm. Seth Meyers.
Yeah, Seth Meyers. He was on there, and he was talking about, Sherry asked him, did they run out of black people? How come they didn't have somebody playing her? He said, oh, we'll do that another time. And Barbara said, well, I don't want anybody doing me.
Well, that's because she's already been done. Do you remember did you see Gilda Radner way back in the day, you know, doing Baba Wawa? And what would you be if you were a twee? What twee would you be?
And Barbara wasn't happy about it back then. Took her a while to come around, but I thought that was neat. But Elizabeth said right after she had bombed Obama, gave him a bomb of the tongue.
Mm-hmm.
And then she said, I'm just so tired of all this talk about politics. But I found out that she gets her talking points from the great Hannity.
Oh, I wouldn't be.
You know, she likes him.
I'm
she
sure.
Said that so a number of times on.
Oh, he's a great American.
And so that's where she gets her talking points. I knew there were sort of somewhere because you would hear her, and then you would hear it all over anywhere you saw any of the Republicans, you would hear it. The same thing.
No, go ahead.
I just hope and pray that tomorrow will bring us some relief.
Oh, yeah. It's like Jerry Clower used to say, somebody got to get some relief.
Yeah.
And I just assume it was us.
Oh, yeah. It's our turn, don't you think?
Yeah, you would.
Should we have some time?
Yeah, I know. Juanita, have yourself a great night, dear.
You too. You take care, and God bless, and Godspeed, and I'll be listening to you tomorrow.
All right, great. Thanks so much. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
And we're going right to the next line here. Open lines, if you want to jump in, 877-443-2366. 304-658-3333. Either way you choose is just fine. I got to encourage you, if you haven't seen the chat room lately, to run by. Head on radionetwork.com. Just click on chat room. Jump right in. Doesn't cost anything. Free. Easy. The queen of chat, moderator ELO, Sue, has done a lot of modifying, and I tell you what, it's some really neat stuff. We've got a little countdown thing going. Time left in George Bush's term, 77 days, 16 hours, 20 minutes, 44, 43, 42 seconds. And, of course, a reminder that we will have Election Day coverage beginning at 3 o'clock with Guy James and going through until there's either a winner or a thief. Because, again, we know that if Barack Obama wins, he will have won. But under these circumstances, if John McCain is somehow declared to have been elected, we will know there has been skullduggery of the highest order perpetrated. So come along. Chime in. Participate. Anything, tell us about your voting experience, what you've seen throughout the day. I'm going to be more nervous than a wax cat in hell all day long tomorrow. I just am. I can't help it. Let's hopefully somebody's still here. Hey, welcome to the program.
Gonzo, greetings. What's going on?
Hey, brother? Spike, what's happening, brother?
I'm riding a hot streak right now, so Democrats should be happy I'm voting for Obama tomorrow, because at least I feel like I'm on that big of a hot streak right now.
Well, you know, anybody who can call Phillies in five and have it happen, even the way that it happened, I gotta respect your streak, Spike.
Yeah, so when the postseason began, yeah, calling that, yeah, so just be glad I'm not voting for Nader. He might be the next president, so I know that would make you cringe. But I got to mention real quick, by the way, he had a speech last night in Allentown, actually, and it turns out, and the guy who wrote the article has written articles. He used to cover the city of Easton, wrote many articles quoting me, so I've interacted with the guys. I know the guy is pretty fair and stuff. Turns out that there was apparently a somewhat decent turnout of people that were Republicans who were so turned off by McCain that they're voting for Nader now. And then there was a letter to the editor where someone who was a Republican was voting for Bob Barr instead of McCain. So it could be interesting. He could be fighting the third parties for second place in some states because the addition of Sarah Palin, it seems like it really was the final nail and turn off to a huge portion of people who would normally vote Republican. So Obama might be getting a new crowd to get him the high numbers, but he might get a nice buffer from people who are so turned off that they're just going to vote for an independent instead of him that normally would have voted Republican. So I felt very encouraged to see a registered Republican who was that turned off by John McCain and Sarah Palin. So I just got to give props where props are somewhat.
No, absolutely. Right, absolutely.
So, you know, everyone complains about him running. There's the upside of him running, too. You know, he could get that as well. So that looks good. But, I live in the 11th Congressional District in Pennsylvania, and no one's more nervous than me because while the national media talks about could be a huge, you know, takeover by the Democrats in the House and the Senate, I live in the one place where an incumbent Democrat might be gone to Republican and lose to Lou Barletta, of all people.
Ew.
The polls have just continually shown him, as in Ken Jorski, trailing Barletta. And the worst of all, there was a debate on the local PBS from the area. And Lou Barletta literally, after like every three words, needs to stop and wait about a second and a half, 2 seconds, to think of what's the next word he's supposed to say. It's true. It's the most painful. I mean, he's worse than George Bush at giving a speech. It's so painful to watch. And can George?
Is he just not tuned into his internal monologue or what, Spike?
The only upside is if the Democrats dominate everywhere else, at least he'll have no leverage. We'll just look like idiots in this congressional district having him. I just hope that they at least got a decent turnout. Maybe that's why they've been pimping the whole Scranton, Pennsylvania battle, because it's the one place the Republicans had a chance to win. I just hope maybe there's enough young people who will come out and vote for Ken Jorski. And the worst part of all is, man, Barletta just blatantly lies in the debates. I mean, just blatantly lies.
Hey, look out there. The sky's green.
Because no one calls him out on it. It's brutally painful, the allegations he throws out there. And He's just.
Well, Specter was out somewhere in Pennsylvania stumping for McCain today, wasn't he? Did I see that?
Well, I don't understand why he's doing that. If he actually just stood by what he believes in, he'd do much better right now. But he's afraid that the Toomey crowd will come after him in a few years again.
Not some Democrat, but some bunch of right wing freaks.
Yeah, he almost lost to Pat Toomey a few years ago in the primary. So he has to kind of pander to make sure he doesn't get knocked out in the primaries by a radical like Toomey, and you know, who now runs Club for Growth, one of the slimiest of all political action committees.
They're a bunch of sleazy right wing sickos. But Spike, is it possible that dare we hope that the right, the hardcore fundamentalist weirdo fascinated with fetuses right wing has seen the setting of its sun? Is that possible?
I think for the most part, yes. And they'll get a good send off when they see my car. Because first I have the horn bumper sticker, and under it I have white trash for Sarah Palin. So. I certainly hope that's kind of an indication of where they're going. So I hope you don't mind me putting you right next to that parrot.
No, not at all. We're proud, you know. And thanks for mentioning that, because you are our first sale at the Horn store, and I have done a miserable job pointing out that we have one over at Cafe Press.
You need to do like the Ed Schultz school of self promotion, you know.
Oh God. You know, I got up this morning and I went over and I got myself a brand new fleece hoodie for the but now we got T-shirts and all kinds of fun stuff over there, and bumper stickers and coffee mugs and things like that. I encourage people because, you know, that's a way that we can we can make a little something. You get some cool horn stuff that people go, "What's that?" And then you get to tell them what we're doing here.
Yeah, well, I've always been kind of big on putting, like, shows I've liked over the years, stickers on my car, and trying to promote things like that. So, you know, I, at one time, custom made one for, like, Hartman's show when I first got serious. You know, just, there's so much out there people don't know that doesn't exist. You know, I don't mind giving props to the shows I really like the most. So, you know, it's only you and one other show that's even promoted in my car at this point. I used to look like a billboard for liberal talk radio at one point. Because, you know, when you're out in traffic in this country on AM terrestrial radio, I mean, you know, you're stuck in traffic in Philly, you're going to have the choice of, like, Sean Hannity, Michael Smirkanish. It's brutal. So, and so many people, and I got to say this, and this isn't a crank call, it's the God for honest truth. So many people went to satellite radio, especially with the Stern show, and many of them out there, you know, they're not all Beavis Butthead either. You know, there's some intelligent people out there that got into that. So, you know, I, you know, and there's plenty of people who have high speed internet now. You know, this isn't like 1999. So people need to know what's out there, you know, and when the beauty of the internet is a website is easy to remember. You know, if you just remember the website,
yeah,
you can go and find it, and that's that. And certainly this network has a very unique name that's kind of hard to forget.
Horn.
So, yeah, head on radio. You think of head on car crash, basically. You got it memorized.
Yeah, so. We were looking for double entendres when we came up with the name, and the idea was that as opposed to right wing radio, who are a bunch of brainless morons, we have our heads on.
Yeah.
You know, we're not a bunch of mouth breathing knuckle draggers just waiting to take marching orders from the right wing. You know, the conversation that I had with Mike Caputo is a case in point. I profoundly disagree with him on the future of coal in this state and in this country. But right now, I gotta help get Barack Obama elected. That's a debate we will have, and you know we're gonna work harder than we ever have. To change the future of this country and give this country a future at all. Because you know if we keep just we'll burn some more coal today. Well, there's not going to be any country to burn coal in 50, 75, 100 years. The inexorable tipping point comes in as close as 10 years and as far as 25. After that, there's no debate left.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you want to talk to people about what happens when coal goes away, you just go to the Scranton-Wilkes-Barre area, you know, especially probably more – the Scranton side ran out first, but Wilkes-Barre a little bit more fresh. A city really still trying to recover from that. Yeah, you're going to be in suffering for decades trying to recover from that, and who knows if you ever can. Wilkes-Barre is a city where they – for years didn't redo the streets, and it was like driving on the moon. Not too long ago they redid the streets, and I was up there recently, and streets are all, they sink. That whole area, that whole region out there is just, it's in terrible shape. You know, we got a town in another part of Pennsylvania that ended up going on fire, which is actually a wild site to go to in Pennsylvania. It's a terrible thing where lightning struck a town. And the town is basically, I think there's literally 8 residents left, people who just decide they're going to go down with the ship, and they've stayed in the town. And these roads you can't drive on because basically there's big holes in them with smoke coming out. It's like a scene out of Hawaii or something, but you're in Pennsylvania. And it's not a volcano. It's a coal mine on fire. So, I mean, there's that side, too. You could lose it, you know, from a natural disaster. I don't get how these people in Pennsylvania, mainly in the suburbs like Philly and stuff, who are really out of touch with this, who are really buying into this coal talk. I mean, it's nauseous. And I don't want too many Democrats trying to get wrapped up in it either. Stay away from it, you know.
Yeah.
It's much better to talk of wind and solar, you know, things a little bit more functional we can use.
You know, I loved it when that story broke last week that Caribou Barbie had gone out to a solar panel factory and tried to talk to people there, and even the people who showed up for it were looking at when she, you know, "Oh, you betcha, don't you know, we gotta burn more hydrocarbons, we gotta put more of that stuff in the air, you know." and they were looking at the lady, "Do you know where the hell you are? You're standing in the middle of the future and talking about dinosaurs."
Yeah, it would make more sense to talk about ethanol than it would take to talk about some of the things they're talking about. I mean, you know, I do have to laugh a little bit, you know, when people blame, you know, that would be raising the cost of food when in actuality just world demand, you know, you have big floods and natural disasters in China and India kicking up demand for certain grains and stuff, you know, like, people don't look deeper into that. They're looking for an excuse to blame anything other than gasoline and crude oil for the world.
We lost whole islands in the Indian Ocean last year.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, there's many other factors why there was a shortage on grains at one point. You know, there's a shortage in rice, and no one's making fuel out of rice, really. At least not at as large of a scale like an ethanol deal. You know, so I find that ridiculous. It just... Well, it's the ADD, attention span in this country anyhow. I mean,
yeah, it's the look, a squirrel factor. Sure, exactly. Spike, good to talk to you, brother. And I'll tell you what, I was the minute the Phillies won, I thought of you, and that was some hellacious good video over at your blog there. I couldn't believe the snow you guys got.
Oh my God, yeah, October 28th, 16 inches of snow, yeah. And there's still patches of it left in the ground. It's warmed up and it's rained for a while. There's still traces of it lying around. But in Toby Hanna, that's, you know, in Easton, Allentown, Bethlehem, it just rained. I mean, but you know, it's just a weird area where we sit here. We get like extremely crazy weather.
You're effectively up in the Poconos, right?
Yeah, we're in one of the apparently higher altitudes in the Poconos. So yeah, we get a lot more snow and things like that than people just a few miles away from us. So the town sits just in the worst spot in the winter.
Well, good talking to you, my friend. We'll talk soon, and I hope you'll check in tomorrow evening.
Yeah, if I do, you know, and Obama wins, I might have a Chase Utley moment. So you might have to be careful with the phone tomorrow night. They might be a lot of jubilant callers.
I want rampant giggling if the opportunity presents itself. So
yeah,
and yeah.
So could be a lot of excitement tomorrow night, or a lot of anger. So it could be it could be a wild night to be taking calls, I'm sure, especially if it goes into the wee hours.
Yeah, and we're going to be, you know, we'll all be sitting here with our salsa and our chips and maybe some bacon and our beer with olives in them and stuff, and remembering Clyde from over at WD40.com. So, you know, there should be ample opportunity for both reflection and celebration if this thing goes the way we hope and the way we want it to.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Spike, take care, brother.
All right, you too.
We'll talk to you later. Bye now. And onward. Nope. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hello there.
Hi.
I'm the English guy from Canada.
Oh, is this Dave?
Yeah.
Hey, Dave, thanks for calling. Good talking to you over the weekend.
Yeah, it was a good talk. It's a pity we're not close. We could enjoy a beer with all of us in together.
Exactly. Exactly.
So much to say, you know, and there's so much going on down there. I mean, if I were you, I'd have a change of underwear ready for tomorrow night. I mean, I just have terrible feelings about the potential for, as you put it earlier, skullduggery.
I do too. I'm trying to beat some of that back just because it's such negative energy. But
I know.
but daggum, I mean, when you've seen these thieving thugs do what they do, and you've seen it happen more than once, I don't necessarily think it's pessimism just to be prepared for the fact that these, you know, we're talking about sneak thieves.
Oh yeah, and one of the things that I kind of find, I've not had a television for 10 years now. Best decision I ever made. But one of the things I find is that the spoon feed brigade, everyone wants someone else to make the effort to tell them what's going on, and that leaves them wide open to these guys and the corporate-owned press who just spout what the powers that be want to be said and hide everything else. I mean, there's been so much on the internet of, you know, protesters being abused and stuff. There's not even a smell of it on television or in the mainstream press.
No.
And I think, you know, control the information. You can control the way people think, because you can't make good decisions with garbage information.
And there you have it. So, you know, that's where stuff like what we're doing comes in. Where paying attention to the alternative press comes in, where paying attention to the overseas press comes in, Dave, because frankly,
all
there's a lot
to do,
there's a lot better reporting.
Oh yeah, but I mean, I'm even skeptical of the BBC, and I have good reason to be. During the miners' strike in England, there was a certain amount of manipulation and propagandizing going on there, especially in the way things were being edited, and I was quite close to a few people who were watching the cops. And it was interesting. So I'm even skeptical of the BBC, but they're probably one of the better investigative bunches out there. But I don't know. There's just so much going on. You know, I mean, even old Obama scares me a little bit. I mean, he's kept old Joe Biden well hidden. He's done a better job of keeping the Veep out of his way than McCain has. I mean, I've not heard anything about Biden, really.
He's
in all of it.
You know, what the rap on him was that he tended to stick his foot in his mouth. But you know what? I don't mind an intelligent person who sticks his foot in his mouth. What I mind is a moron who doesn't know he's doing it. That he doesn't know.
Well, yeah,
he doesn't know he's got the second one in there with the first.
Yeah. Marie. Thinking of someone with the initials SP by any chance? I mean, those Canadian guys just made her look like...
You know what? I don't want to overstate this, but I have never been so proud of Canada in my entire existence than I am hearing that tape. And I hope to run the audio here in a little bit, Dave.
But
the funny thing is, it's just...
I heard it today.
Oh, did you get to... Yeah, okay.
I heard it today. And I was cringing for her. You know, it was so bad that I felt bad for her. And you know, it was just mind-blowing.
I mean, they weren't being mean to her, but
they were being obvious.
Yeah, they were trying to let her in on the gag when he says, "Ah, yes, you're Jody Plummer. We have the same thing in France. His name is Marcel, the guy with bread under his arm." The president of France doesn't say that. But in her world, Dave, he does.
Exactly. I mean, world leaders. I have a lot of good friends down in Pennsylvania. And I, you know, we talk about stuff. But I find quite often, and I know, no criticism of the people, because I think the U.S. education system stinks, but, and that's another reason these guys can do what they do. Because people aren't educated to think.
Well, and you know, we don't. Look, do you remember? I don't know if you noticed it or not, Dave. But a few months back, when Barack Obama suggested that learning foreign languages for our children was a good thing, one right wing gas bag hollered, went out on the air the next day, and he said, "Well, I'm not going to have my children learning to speak illegal alien." Well, thanks to that mindset, you've got a vice presidential nominee. I mean, you know, I had 2 years of high school French, okay? My French is merde. I'd be hard pressed to, you know, where is the restroom, please, if I was standing in downtown Montreal.
You don't want to go to Montreal if you did school French.
Well,
I'm reasonable at French because I spent quite a bit of time over the water there. And my spoken French is kind of iffy. My written French is fine. And I understand what people are saying. It just takes me too long to form an answer.
Well, and see, these guys on this tape, Dave, they threw two snippets of French at her that were absolutely hilarious. I had to go back and sort of, you know, find that little part of my brain that remembered what it sounded like, and it took me a minute. I had to play it back a couple of times, so I'm not saying that I'm any great shakes at translation. But on the one hand, when I heard him tell her in the exchange about hunting, "Oh, yes, we could go kill the baby seals."
Yeah.
And then later, when I heard him say, "My wife, she's very hot. Of course, she is wonderful in bed. She wrote a song for you." I got this whole mental image going for me, Dave, of her on the other end, you know, looking, and she covers the microphone. She goes, "Oh my God," you know, and she's mouthing it. She's not, "Oh my God, it's the president of France,"
yeah,
you know, and doing that, and when he says, "Of course, my wife, she is wonderful in bed," the French are like that.
They have a saying. They have a saying in England. There's lots of really good sayings, and I think this one fits her really well. If brains were dynamite, she couldn't blow her hat off. That's my take.
I had a very dear friend who was born in England and raised there, and came here after she married an American soldier. She's gone now, God rest her soul, or Flying Spaghetti Monster, or whatever. She was a dear friend, and she brought this word with her from England that I will hang on to till my final day, that I just love. And it's not, you know, it's not in use here in the States or anything. Gormless.
Yeah, gormless is a really good word.
And that's what Sarah Palin is. Sarah Palin is gormless.
Completely lacking in gorm, yes.
Yes, no gorm within miles of her.
Exactly.
The guy playing the president of France, he tells her that, you know, the wife has written a song, and he tells her the name of the song in French, and says, or in your English, "Joe the Plumber, It's My Life." Well, what he tells her in French is that the name of the song is "Lipstick on a Peg."
Yeah, I mean, it's just...
Le rouge de la lèvre de cochon, or something like that.
Yeah.
And I heard them like, cochon, cochon. Let's see, chien, dog, cochon, pig. Yeah.
Oh, God, yeah, I mean, it just shows the mentality. It really does.
She's a prom queen. That's actually, she's the girl who never won the prom. And now, prom queen, and now she thinks she has. And once you do that, heads of state just call and gossip, and everybody talks, and and everybody's just good friends. And, "Oh, gosh, you know, we sure do respect what you're doing, energizing your people over there in France."
Oh, yeah. And then you got McCain, who doesn't know the difference between Mexico and Spain. I mean, these guys, I have to wonder what their foreign policy could possibly be, as they don't seem to realize that there are foreign places. you know.
Right, because if he
have a foreign policy decision.
If he hears a name, a Hispanic name, he automatically assumes that it's some leftist rebel leader in South America that he needs to go bomb.
Yeah. And he has a big problem with the old 14th Amendment, too, doesn't he, old...
A little bit.
To go there.
Yeah.
Hmm?
Oh, yeah, go, yeah, absolutely.
You know, I mean, there's so many, he's got so many strikes against him. I'm absolutely mind-boggled that there's any decision here. I mean, I don't see Obama as being, you know, the second coming or anything.
No, nor I.
I think he's going to be the period at the end of the madness. Is how I see it. And hopefully, what I really hope for, and I'm not even in the U.S., you know, I mean, I'm watching this because of the effects that the U.S. has on the rest of the planet. And if you haven't got 3 or 4 hours to go here, let's not go into that one. But the amount of damage that these buggers have done, and will continue to do if he gets in, I mean, it's just beyond belief for me. And standing outside, and as I'm from the north of England, which is very politically active, I don't know if you know much about when Margaret Thatcher was in power over there, and she was the beginning of all this stuff, or right at the beginning of it. She was one of the
the
first horsemen of, you know, of the apocalypse, really. But the north of England, where I lived in Sheffield, which is a coal and a steel town, and she just basically wrote off that town when she signed a deal with the EEC that killed steel and coal, the two biggest industries in the town, in the city of Sheffield. And the anger there was beyond belief. But somehow these people have managed to rig everything and steal the agenda. And what I find about this, the debate in the U.S., is certain words are unacceptable. Now, in any sensible debate, no word's unacceptable. The word socialism is one of the most respectable words in the damn dictionary.
Well, hear, hear. But in the United States, it's socialism is the word in the dictionary that comes right after Satanism.
But it's not that. It's
no, it's not.
The word has been hijacked by these people.
Look, they stole liberal right out from under us. Look at the dictionary definition of liberal.
Mm-hmm.
It's what you want to be. I mean, you know, you go to university to study, and you study the liberal arts because they're a good thing. That, you know, there's no course of study in conservative arts because there aren't any, and if there were, they wouldn't be worth studying.
You got it. I mean, another one, anarchy.
Yeah.
Is a word that's been corrupted by being used incorrectly by the people who want to corrupt it.
Well, and see, that's
mean chaos.
That's one of the things that makes me being me a frustrating adventure, Dave.
I'm the same.
Because I know where the word anarchy comes from. It is, you know, it's a Greek derivative, meaning to exist without archons. And of course, the archons were the body of old men that ruled ancient Athens.
Yeah. So basically, no leader.
Yeah. Yeah. No hierarchy of tired old cranky men.
Yeah, and if, without those, how many wars do you think there'd be?
Safe to say, not nearly as many. You know, Sparta had its Gerousia, and again,
yeah, I mean, but Sparta was a bit of an aberration. Really.
But you know, again, cranky old men. Senate comes from a Latin word for cranky old men.
Yep, I've said for the longest time, you know, the people with the least left of their life get to make the decisions over those with the most.
Right. Well, how dare
that idea?
Yeah. How dare an octogenarian or nonagenarian senator make decisions that are going to affect a newborn's ability to have any sort of a reasonable life? I mean, I don't think that's an unfair inquiry.
Dead right. I mean, it's not just not unfair. It's an absolute, in my eyes, it's an absolute must. To consider this, you know, I mean, there are wise people, but, you know, the way you think does change as you get older. Fortunately, I still remember being a teenager, and I think I'm probably angrier now than I was then.
I know I am.
I don't find I'm mellowing with age. You know, I joke with people and say, I'm going to be a really grumpy old man.
Exactly. And,
you know.
you know, there's...
I just look at the world and look at the... I mean, what I got you, like we said at the weekend, we both have kids.
Yes.
And I look at the world that they're going to have to deal with. And that's why tomorrow, what I really hope for is that it's such a massive landslide that even he gets the message, I've got to go the right way here. Because there are some of his policies that worry me and some of his votes in the past that worry me. But I think if the vote's big enough, he's going to say, whoa, there's quite the message there, and I'd better follow that message. And I can't remember who it was now, said no politician delivers on all their promises, and there's a few that he said that I hope he doesn't deliver on. I think it might have been Michael Moore, actually. And I'm hoping increasing the level of the Afghan war is one that he won't deliver on. And there are some like that, and I think if the vote's big enough tomorrow, he might get the message, well, hang on, this really is signaling change. Because I really worry about, you know, all this hope and change thing, because I think the American people are better if he gets in, have still got a hope for change, you know. But at least I think he'll stop the bleeding.
And we all, you know, reasonable people understand that you know, this is not some Disney cartoon, and nobody is going to come and turn a pumpkin into a coach at the tinkle of a wand. We have brutal hard work ahead of us here in the U.S., Dave. And frankly, it would not bother me in the least if in his own way, Obama came out and gave that Churchillian speech about all I can promise you is blood, tear, toils, and sweat.
Well, I'm really concerned. I am not a big liker of Churchill.
Well, nor am I, but he could turn a daggum phrase.
He did have a way with words.
Because, you know, we've got to understand it's going to take time. And frankly, I think we'll learn a lot about Obama, assuming he becomes the president, by looking at his priorities. One of the things that Bill Clinton hamstrung himself with early in his presidency was the don't ask, don't tell business.
Yeah.
And the impulse was right, because he was trying to get away from a bigoted system within the military
he was trying to take a step away from it anyway.
Yeah, at least a step, if not, you know, not full eradication.
Like
he was engaging in some incrementalism, frankly.
Yeah, exactly. Like the Chinese say, every journey starts with a single step, you know.
Right.
You start going in that direction, hopefully you'll pick up speed. Yeah, I absolutely agree. You know, so that, I'm not saying don't. But, like I say, I think if the vote's big enough, not only will it free him to do stuff that he might have been a bit worried about, but what concerns me is the amount of corporate money he's got. The corporate, I refer to corporations in general when I'm talking about them, quite often over dinner, me and my kids discuss the world. And I always refer to corporations in general as the corporate monster. Because the corporate law regarding corporations is what screwed the planet, basically, in my opinion.
It can't help but be a huge part of it. And it is, we've gotten to a place, I'm sure you've read Adam Smith, I sort of toothpicked my eyelids open and got through The Wealth of Nations. there's nothing in there that vaguely resembles what's going on now in the way corporate structure is in the United States and most of the rest of the West. Some countries are better at keeping a handle on them than others, but we're not good at it at all, not even a little bit.
The problem is in the U.S., where corporate money determines the law in a lot of cases, it's so easy for the corporation with plenty of cash to achieve stuff that means it gets more cash. And it feeds on itself, and it rips off Joe Public every minute of every day.
Yes, it does. And it all begins with a wee tiny little footnote in a Supreme Court case called Santa Clara County versus Union Pacific Railroad,
and I believe the late 1870s or the 1880s. It's not even determined law. It's not a statement of law by the Supreme Court of the United States. It's just a footnote in that case that says that for purposes of the analysis, corporations shall be deemed to be persons within the meaning of the Constitution.
Okay, so here's a grabber on that one, then. Here's a thought that I've had regarding that, and I do know that. So why not hold corporations to the same standards? If I commit an offense and do something illegal, and in the commission of that offense, I kill somebody. That's murder. I could get life in prison. Now, if a corporation commits a crime, does something illegal, and that leads to the death of somebody, that's murder. And the corporation should have the same penalty as I would have, which means its charter goes away at that point because it's just murdered somebody. So it gets life in prison. Now, life in prison for a corporation is exactly the same as taking away its charter. I think that would be fair.
I do, too. Frankly,
how many corporations, big ones, would survive that test?
Precious few, to say the very least. You know, look, exactly. I've argued in the past that you can that we should be able to offer corporations a choice. You want to be a person within the meaning of the Constitution? Well, that's fine. Then you pay personal tax rates.
Exactly.
If you want to be a corporation and give up all of those civil rights, then you'll get the corporate tax rate. You choose.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because
you can't have your cake and eat it. But these
no, there are no immortal persons, and yet corporations are, for all intents and purposes, within the framework,
that's
immortals.
That's why I think that the only remedy with all this stuff is if a corporation does something illegal, leads to the death of a single person, the charter's gone. That would be fair.
Yeah, and pay off the stockholders, liquidate it, or sell it to another organization, or put it into some form of receivership.
Something, but you've got to make, if you want the privileges of being a person, then you have to have the responsibilities of a person. You can't have half of it.
No, it's damn near impossible.
These guys pull it off because their money buys the president and the Congress and the Senate.
Well, I got to tell you, Dave, you've got a fan. Our pal Kate down on the coast just wrote in to say, "Where the hell did Dave come from? He's wonderful." that's the thing. We develop these. That's the nice thing about the conversations we have. We get little fan bases going in amongst the callers and stuff, and it doesn't happen elsewhere. And I love that we've been able to create this kind of synergy on the program. And I'm really glad you called in.
Like I was saying to you on the weekend, you know, I'm really at the moment like struggling with I the job I have. I enjoy. I mean, I'd do what I do for free if I could afford it, which is a really nice place to be. But I find that I just want to do something about all this nonsense. And I'm searching like mad and trying to figure out a way of doing something, you know, that's going to have some impact. It doesn't have to have an impact on everybody. Start small, you know. But I'm really kind of searching like mad right now to find some way of waking people up.
Well, it doesn't have to turn the planet on its ear, and you remind me of something, a song that several of my friends and I heard when we were down at a leadership seminar on the campus of Berea College in Kentucky, whose words said something to the effect of, it's a drop in the bucket fills the pond fills the river, and the river rushes on. There's no such thing as a small effort. You understand exponentialism. Efforts are additive. And cumulative and exponential.
Mm-hmm.
So absent, and that's part of, you know, that's another thing we're trying to do here is we have these conversations so that we can identify how each of us in our own way can do something somewhere, somehow, any way.
Yeah, and a free exchange of ideas, too, is always healthy, you know. I mean, you might not agree with somebody, but then talk them out of their belief or let them talk you out of yours. You know, or agree to differ.
Yeah.
But, you know, at least beat it around in a nice way and be prepared.
Yeah, don't just pretend that, well, you know, it'll fix itself.
Some problems left alone will go away. For instance, if we would ignore, and I'm more guilty than most in this, if we would ignore the religious right, they might go away. But we do so at the peril of understanding that if we ignore them, they may get stronger.
Well, the problem there is, again, the right-wing wackos are usually the ones with cash. And so they can buy their way onto that wonderful little box that lies to you in the corner of your living room. That's what I wouldn't invite a lying, manipulative so-and-so into my house. So why would I have a television? That's really how I feel about television.
And I think your assessment is spot on.
That's
a great way of looking at it. Why would you invite a liar into your house and yet you have one sitting in the corner of the room? Or now, in modern parlance, you have one taking up an entire wall of a room. Or you've got five or six liars all over your house.
I mean, I'm a real techno nut. My computer system is frightening in here. I mean, I've probably got more pewters than where I work. My kids are complete propeller heads with this stuff. We don't have television. You know? We don't have television. And we sit down and we talk about stuff. And my daughter's right now trying to do something at school, a project to get something together about poverty and what she's proposed to the headmaster, that kids can buy their way out of any class that day. But to buy their way out, they have to walk the gauntlet of all this information about poverty. And the money she raises will go to something to help people who live in poverty. And for me, that's great, you know.
I think that's a brilliant idea.
Cool to be a 15-year-old doing.
And
you know, did this over dinner one night, you know.
Oh, that's neat. That gives me hope. That gives me hope.
But you know, there's not many people who don't have one of those lying boxes, and so they sit there, and their kids sit there, and if they're not on MSN or Facebook, they're listening to the liar that's been invited into their house.
Yeah, exactly. And by the way, Kate just chimed in again via email, Dave. She said, you can do your bit, which is large, and that is, you know, continue this conversation here on this program and continue to give us the perspective that you're sharing tonight. Because I get behind this microphone and I play and I carry on and we have a lot of fun, but we have a lot of serious conversations. And I never know.
They're not mutually exclusive, though, are they?
No, they're not mutually exclusive at all. And I never know from one minute to the next where maybe some words that come out of somebody's computer somewhere will be that drop that causes the pail to begin to overflow and spill out its goodness hither, thither, and yon.
Yeah, I mean, this is it. You know, if you can go firing a bunch of sparks around, hopefully they'll land on some fuel somewhere and set off a fire. You know, I mean, all you can hope for, if you've not got something that's the magic thing to change the world, maybe by saying how you feel to other people who are missing one piece of the jigsaw puzzle that you have, can put stuff together.
Exactly. And
that's
if nothing,
the power
if,
of ideas.
Precisely, and if for no other reason, if we empower people in our conversations amongst ourselves, in the chat room, via email, blogging, message boards, whatever we put out, if we can empower somebody who was previously silent and would let some right-wing idiot shout them or talk them down, or they would sit there and just passively listen to it without disagreeing or calling them on their BS. If we can get that person once, just once, to say no, you know, no is a powerful word to say no to that kind of stuff.
The only thing you really have, when it all comes down to it, all you have is the power to refuse. That's the most powerful thing you have, to refuse.
And if people, and I get the sense that people have. If people begin with something like this and they take it out into their daily lives and they begin to actually resist this pervasive right-wing, frankly, fascism that has begun to infect this country, then we've got a chance. Yeah, okay. I'm trying to be charitable here, Dave.
Okay, good.
Yeah, no, I mean, no, we're up to say that we've begun fascism is to say that a person up to their chin in water has begun to drown.
Mm-hmm.
We're up to our chins, and I know it. But you know, the only way to do it is to resist it and refuse it.
The problem is there's a rope dangling there, but some miserable so-and-so's greased it, you know.
Yeah, or the rope is dangling, but the person on the other end says, you know, when we get you to dry land, you got to start believing in impossible things.
And all you've got to do is you've got to sign this check before I'll haul you up.
Right. Well, like the early days of fire departments in the U.S.
in the U.S., isn't it?
No, sure
that's
it is.
Medical system down there.
Yeah.
Sign this check and I'll pull you up.
Yeah.
Otherwise, forget it. I mean, I'm spoiled. I mean, in England and Canada, in England you've got the NHS, and in Canada, well, in Ontario you've got OHIP, which is, you know. I went for a flyer off my mountain bike racing with my son about 2 years ago and did a really good job on my wrist. But no worries, down the hospital, yep, okay, I've got to pay for a cast, I've got to pay for the parking, but other than that, x-rays free, you know, consultations free, all that stuff, no worries. What's your, you know, flash your health card and you're done. That's it. Pay for the stuff you walk out with.
Now, hold on a minute, Dave, because if you listen to the right wingers around here, they'll tell you that you had to wait for 3.5 years to have your wrist fixed.
Okay, well, here's how it went. I went down there Saturday. It was Saturday afternoon, beautiful afternoon. Couldn't miss it. Did the wrist, came back here. Didn't know I broke it at first. Came back here, got cleaned up, you know, plenty of gravel rash. And sat down, having a coffee, and the wrist started to really go. So I went down to the hospital, x-rayed it. Ah, it looks all right. Bandaged it up, probably just a bad sprain. Came back here. I was probably waited at the hospital for, what, an hour maybe? For x-rays, and then, you know, reasonable, half an hour for the x-rays to pop out of whatever machine it had to pop out of. Half an hour talk to the doctor, you know, 10 minutes talk to the doctor after a few minutes wait. Gone, you know. And then I get a phone call, you better come back. We had the specialist look at your x-rays. You've definitely done a bad job in there. So I went back, and they re-x-rayed. Oh, CAT scan for that one, sorry. Not just an x-ray for that one. I ended up, it took a long time and a lot of work, but it was 9 months, 4 CAT scans, multiple x-rays, no cost. And I probably, over the 9 months, the most annoying thing was paying for parking. Because it's a flat rate, and if I was in there 5 minutes, it cost me $5, you know.
Yeah.
But other than that, no complaints. Couldn't have any. You know, couldn't possibly have any.
Yeah, and there were other systems where that $5 parking's covered, too.
Yeah. But the point is that down there, everyone resents paying taxes. I resent some parts of my taxes. But in general, I have no issue with paying tax when I get education, when I get, you know, subsidized childcare if I'm poor, where I get healthcare. And all this stuff back for my taxes. What do you get back for yours?
Bombs.
Yeah. Well, hopefully you don't get those.
Well, no, really, we do. You know, 3 million pounds of high explosives every day in West Virginia.
Well, I know that the environment around you gets those, but they don't tend to try and hit houses with that, is my point.
Well, it's kind of like indirect fire in the artillery business.
Look, there's the other issue here. The bank bailout, all this stuff, the bank bailout, which to me just said, the lying so-and-sos. All that money has been sitting there for all these years when people have said, I need some more money for school, I need money for healthcare, I need money to feed the poor. Oh, no, there isn't any money, it'll cost too much, you know, it'll cost you a fortune. As soon as the banksters want it, oh, here you go, how much do you need? 700 billion? Nah, best make it 850 just to be sure. So you know that you've been lied to for 30 years, the money was there. It was a decision that was made. You can't have this.
Yeah, we're just not worth it. Wall Street, bankers, silk suit crowds, the people who eat, you know, hummingbird tongue canapes, they're worth it. We're not. We're not. But you know, if we say something like, you're trying to start class warfare.
Well, what's wrong with that?
No, I'm fighting back in the class war that's already taking place. And my side loses.
Just about to say, If it's class war, then you buggers started it. You invaded Poland. The rich.
Yeah.
They invaded Poland, not you and me. We're responding to their attack. And their attack...
And the right of self-defense is...
long and successful.
Yeah, and the right of self-defense is always absolute.
It shouldn't have to be that way, though. You should have those basic human rights that are in your constitution, by the way. You know, nobody should be able to come and whack you on the head because you have an idea they don't like.
But
a basic human right, and I think healthcare is a basic human right.
I think I agree. I agree completely. But
and
you
I
know,
don't
it's
care what country you're in.
As I believe you and I in our conversation over the weekend, Dave, as I noted, we've been trying to have a national healthcare discussion for literally 60 years.
And that's how old the National Health Service is in England this year, 60 years old.
Yeah. Well, Harry Truman started talking about it, you know, I believe, 1948.
Yeah.
About the same time that he was working on integrating the military.
Mm-hmm.
And to this day, you know, and everybody looks back, we tend to look back fondly on old Republicans because they weren't as noxious as the current crop. But, you know, they tried to have the discussion with 8 years for 8 years with Eisenhower, and Eisenhower fought it tooth and toenail.
Mm-hmm.
And his Republican Congress.
Yep.
And,
you know, the other big problem down there is your whole political system is broken. You know that.
Oh, yeah.
Most people don't, but you know that. I mean, how much have you seen of McKinney and Nader in all of this? They've been just shut down and lid put on by corporate media again.
Well, and it's not even necessarily somebody like McKinney and Nader. I mean, my God, there were more good ideas propounded in the Democratic primary season by Dennis Kucinich, and the only thing that they wanted to and he had to fight to be brought into the debates, you know, the pageants, and the only thing he got asked about was, did you really see a UFO, Congressman?
Oh yeah.
And
my answer to that one too is, I've seen loads of UFOs. I've seen lots of things in the sky that I didn't know what the hell they were. Haven't you?
Yeah, that's all it means is I didn't know what
UFO,
it was.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a UFO. Hey, look at that. What's that in the sky? I don't know. Oh, it's a UFO then.
Is that a dragonfly or is that a midge or is that a mayfly? Don't know. It's a UFO.
UFO. Yeah.
It's flying. It's an object and I can't identify it.
Yep. And it's flying.
Yeah.
Yep.
Hey, Dave, I've got a couple of calls stacking up here, but, man, I've enjoyed this conversation, and I hope we'll continue it.
Yeah, well, I'll have to give you a call once all the madness is over, I guess. I won't try and get in tomorrow night because you're going to have – I hope you got coffee on the go as well as those beers.
Oh, no, I'm a decaffeinated guy. I got to get through on nothing but sheer grit and guts.
I imagine there'll be a little adrenaline thrown in there.
You know, and I'm counting on that. Dave, take care and great conversation. Thank you so much.
Look after yourself and all the best to anyone who's listening to this stuff.
All right, great. We'll talk soon, I hope.
Talk to you.
Bye now.
Yeah, bye.
New friend, our first conversation with Dave. Dave's in Canada now, but as he told you, his origins are in the north of England, and I hope we do hear back from him. Hi, welcome to the program.
Hello, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
No, I'm doing just fine, Bob. Good to hear your voice again.
Matt.
Matt Osborne.
Yeah, how are you doing?
Just great.
Wonderful.
I guess I'm having a hard time trying to figure out how to follow up that act. That was quite something.
That happens. That can happen any time on this network. And don't sell yourself short, brother. I got a lot of positive feedback on the Duck Hunter and the Decider last week. That was decidedly brilliant work.
Well, thank you. As a matter of fact, I have something new to offer your listeners.
Oh, yeah?
This is a much, much shorter, but I don't have to apologize to anybody living or dead because we don't know who came up with the original. But I'm sure your listeners will know this, what I'm parodying when I hear it. You were talking a little while ago about maybe it's best in the next 4 years that we just ignore these crazy people. And, you know, the black helicopters, all that stuff, it's time to just ignore these people. I think there's a certain point to that. And that's what inspired me to write this. Remember, on 5th of November. Mudslinging and derision. I see no reason why catcalls of treason should ever be forgiven. Joe Plummer and Palin, 'twas their decision to raise a cry of socialism. 80 stories of Acorn on Foe to call Obama's election a hoax. Through right and heirs, Barack was cursed as unpatriotic and liberal first. House of Reps, Senators, Majority Dems. When elephants holler, just ignore them. A simple fact to Murdoch's news is an item sure to choke them. Never shout O'Reilly down, just turn away. Ignore him. Burn them with irrelevance. Publicize their decadence. Bush the word for how they've led. That way will GOP be dead.
Bravo.
Thank you.
And you didn't know how you were going to follow Dave. I think you just did. That's exquisite, Matt.
Well, thank you.
And again, that has to be that has send it to me so I can send it to the people who will say, "Hey, I want to see that." Okay?
Sure, I'll be happy to do that.
I trust you'll put it up on your blog.
It's already up on the blog, but I'll send you the link.
Okay, Osborne Inc. That's Osborne with an Eink.com.
That's correct.
Okay. Knowing where you are. I would be lying if I said that I'm not curious about what will happen in Alabama tomorrow. The last numbers I saw were that McCain was, you know, God, what a sad commentary on a place that I love so much. McCain was up by some 23 or 24 points in Alabama, and I just want to collectively shake the state. What in the hell are you people on?
Don't put me.
Not you, and not anybody who's got the good common sense to vote for Barack Obama. But what?
As a matter of fact, I've got Veterans for Obama stickers I just finished putting all around my car, and it's been my impression is that he may be leading by a long way in this state, but I don't think the final tally is going to reflect that same wide lead. It's still going to win Alabama. I don't think Barack's going to win Alabama, but I don't think that McCain's going to do as well as expected because I'm not sure how many McCain voters in Alabama are really going to bother to show up to vote.
He's just done. There's nothing. Well, it's like the article I read at Salon today about that church that Ted Haggard ran in Colorado. Yeah, they're just, so what? You know, we're going to be communists now. You know, and I mean, they're not all excited at all about McCain. They call him the liberal. I've heard this kind of talk down south too. There was somebody at this New Life, is that what it's called? I can't remember. But you know, it's one of those outfits in Colorado Springs. You know, you can't swing a dead cat in Colorado Springs without hitting some fundamentalist.
A friend of mine was based out there at Fort Carson, and he said it was just awful. You couldn't go off post without getting, you know, witnessed to.
Yeah, or witnessed at. One of the people there was interviewed and said, "Well, I don't see it as much of a choice. I've got a choice between a liberal and a socialist." Yeah, to those weirdos, John McCain is a liberal.
Well, that's what you get for being such a mavericky type. you're way too left of my extreme right position, so you must be a liberal.
Yeah, exactly. He doesn't want to kill those illegal aliens that we think ought to be killed for Jesus.
That's right. He doesn't think we ought to just bomb Iran into the Stone Age. And we all know that that's how we're going to bring on the apocalypse, and Jesus will come to earth and solve all of our problems.
Well, is the weirdo right-winger going to win the election tomorrow in the Alabama 5th Congressional District where Bud Kramer's retiring?
I don't think so. Honestly, I have just slightly more faith in North Alabama than that. This district is probably the most liberal of districts, and it doesn't help Mr. Wayne Parker that he's got this position against. He doesn't think there should be a NASA. All right, Huntsville, hello. The biggest metropolitan area in North Alabama depends on NASA. Redstone Arsenal? Anyone? Anyone? Bueller?
Bueller? He beat me to it. Oh, and he doesn't. Yeah. He hates NASA. Well, never mind. He's done. I was worried a little bit when I saw that even David Carpenter was having to come out and defend the Democrat. I can't remember his name. When he made the mistake of saying, I don't think that terrorism is a threat to us, and went on to say what the real threats are, which I tend to agree with. But, you know, I saw that the right wing just began hopping up and down and flapping its nasty little monkey bat wings.
You know, as a matter of fact, I got to say, I've seen in this election cycle, I've seen in past cycles where things have gotten taken out of context. But this election cycle has seen more words just stripped of all surrounding meaning, of all context. And that's your perfect example right there. If I was going to preserve one sample in a time capsule, that would probably be it, because that just sort of encapsulates the whole approach of taking somebody's words, taking out two or three little words, and vindicated. That's another great one. You know, we've got the vindicated thing going on today.
Yeah.
Joe Scarborough just won't let up on vindicated. He doesn't seem to understand what the word vindicated means. But, you know, this is your prime example, because you've got Parker Griffith saying, you know, I don't really think that Islamic radicalism is a huge threat to the United States. I think that there are these other threats that are more timely and pressing. And I think he's absolutely right. You know, I'm with Tom Friedman in that I think probably the worst thing you could do to Osama bin Laden right now is lower that $50 million bounty on his head to, like, a Happy Meal. I think that's probably the worst thing you could do to him right now.
Yeah, marginalize and make him irrelevant.
That is exactly correct. And what we're doing, you know, what we've been under, I should say, is this regime of thinking that if we build paranoia about this Islamofascism, which is just that's a horrible neologism. That's a word that shouldn't exist, because it doesn't. It doesn't exist. Islamofascism is a made-up word. It means nothing. There is no example of Islamofascism anywhere in history. So, you know,
that's like the duck-billed zebra, isn't it, Matt?
Right, it's a duck-billed zebra, exactly. That's a great term. I'm going to write that down. Yeah, but to take those three or four words out of context, strip them of all the surrounding meaning, I mean, if you tried doing that in a newspaper article, you'd be sued for libel.
What you're talking about here, I think, Matt, is, if this analogy sticks, what you're talking about, I think, is the last 20 months or so of this interminably long political cycle that is probably a crime in its own right. What you're talking about is politics reduced to an endless loop of, it's a political waiting for Godot, isn't it?
It is. It has been just like waiting for Godot, except that we actually have an election tomorrow. Thank goodness. But it has been a really long wait. You know, I remember seeing Barack Obama on stage at the Democratic National Convention in 2004. I listened to his speech, and I had never seen this man before. I didn't know him from Adam. I thought, you know, I would really like him to run for president. I remember thinking that to myself.
I remember it being on the air the next day going, wow.
Yeah. And the more that I saw them, the more I was impressed, which is why, you know, I was an Obama supporter before he even declared his candidacy. And when he declared his candidacy, I raised a whoop and holler. You know, I wanted Obama for my president right away, because I think he really gets it. He really gets it. I think he understands that the world is not something you have to be afraid of. The world is something that, look, the world is rapidly shrinking around us.
And it has to be engaged.
You have to engage it. You have to talk to the world. You have to let the world in, and you have to go visit the world. And you have to, hey, here's an idea, learn a foreign language.
I ain't speaking no illegal alien.
It amazes me. It amazes me. As a linguist, it amazes me that it's now, let's see, 7 years after 9/11, we still don't have an Arabic language emphasis anywhere in America. don't have people learning these languages in these countries where this Islamic radicalism is going on. We aren't teaching our children how to speak these languages and listen to Intercept. We're outsourcing this stuff, or we're depending on a few academics who know these languages and love them. We don't have any real emphasis on them in universities. There are just a handful of high schools in the country that have Arabic language programs. How in the hell are you supposed to take on an ideology if you don't even speak its language?
When you can't find the bathroom in their language.
Exactly. When you don't know how to say a simple hello in Arabic, how in the world are you going to talk to the Arabs? So I think it's very important that we have a president who is transformative, who says you don't have to be afraid of the world. And, you know, honestly, hey, let's say it, it's that skin color. It's the fact that he is black. He looks like the world. He looks like he's not on the dollar bill. He's not this white guy.
Yeah, because we all know that that's George Bush's mother on the dollar bill. And it's a much more friendly portrait than what we get in real life.
Oh, poor Barbara Bush. Oh, poor Barbara.
I know, I know. Hey, Matt, you and Dave have succeeded in lighting up every line that I've got here. And I want a chance to get to everybody.
I understand. I just want to tell your listeners one thing.
Yes.
I have another website. I actually have two websites. One is called southofstrange.com.
Yes, 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 yes.
Southofstrange.com. This is where I put my fiction, which to me is more truthful than my opinions. I have reposted a story there. This has become something of a Halloween tradition. I would like to just read you the first couple paragraphs.
Go right ahead. Yes,
let
please.
Let your listeners go to southofstrange.com and read this story if they'd like to. The story is called Lost in Translation. Now, my first question is, who speaks to the presidential mind? My next question is, what are they telling him? And my third question is, does he even understand what they're saying? Okay. So this is what a secure and undisclosed location looks like, the president said with a chuckle. Kind of expected something, I don't know, more secure-looking. It's secure, all right, the vice president growled. But it doesn't look that way. That's how we keep it undisclosed. Secret Service agents stand out around the bunker entrance, scanning the Tennessee woodlands for hidden threats. Two of them examined the bunker door with humorless eyes. Behind the entourage, the helicopter's blades had stopped spinning. The president glanced around them. You say there's no press? They don't even know we're here, the vice president growled. The president removed his jacket and loosened his tie. So what's all this about? I mean, I am the president. I've got the need to know everything, right? The vice president did not reply. He walked toward the rusty bunker door, regarding it with his perpetual frown. When he did growl again, he was standing in front of that door, and the growling was directed to the president's Secret Service detail. This area is a no-go for you. National security. And I'll let your listeners read the rest of it.
I think that's a darn fine tease. I've read it before, but I'm going to go read it again. Southofstrange.com and Osborne, Inc. That's Osborne with an E, OSBORNEINK.com. You got some great stuff out there, Matt. And, you know, I hope you'll chime in with some results for us tomorrow night on our election coverage.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, we'll talk to you soon then, brother.
All right.
Later.
Be good now.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
I'm daunted, guys. You've got all the lines lit up here. So, as has been my tradition, what we'll do is I'll go through all the lines. Everybody gets a say tonight, one way or the other. That's just the way it has to happen. And because there's nobody telling me I can't do that. So we'll just start going through phone lines here. Oh, dear. Well, maybe they're not. Let's try this one. Hi, welcome
Hello,
to the program.
Hi, how you doing?
I'm doing good.
This is Steve Chikosky. It's Wally from WD-40.
Yeah, Steve. Cool, wonderful. Tough day today. How'd everything go?
the service, they had a service for him here in Kansas City, and it was nice. It was, you know, it was a prayer service, and Kenny wasn't exactly a religious man. So, you know, he would have suffered through some of it. And then his nephew came on, Aaron, and gave this great, great, hilarious speech. He had people laughing. He started out by, Kenny's, he was doing an impersonation. He'd look at all you people blubbering out there, and he did this little, which he always did. Anyway, it was nice. It was good. I just wanted to call him and say hi. Show going on tonight so far.
Oh, well, thank you very much. I tell you what, it's been a busy night. I have a feeling I could probably go till midnight with this one tonight, because there's that whole, you know, that whole waiting to exhale thing that's going on between now and tomorrow.
We are sweating. There's a stress in here for, you know, 50 different reasons, obviously, and one of them is they thought Blue was going to win too, didn't they?
Yeah, there's that.
And Truman stood up the next day with a newspaper saying, Dewey wins. And
yeah, and out in your neck of the woods, that has a particular relevance, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. Because Harry Truman was right here. And, you know, and Harry Truman, he turned out to be a pretty good president when it come right down to it. But John McCain and certainly Sarah Palin is not.
No, I'm sort of... one of the things over the weekend that sort of grabbed me was how much I regretted that Kenny wasn't here to hear the Sarah Palin prank call. Because he might have been running naked around the neighborhood after he heard that. Honest to
people, oh.
It's the darndest thing I have ever heard. A woman so self-absorbed and so totally unaware of her world that she thinks that the president of France just gets on the phone and calls to chat.
Yeah, well, you know, one of the funniest things about that was at the very end of it, after her handler took the call away from her,
mm-hmm.
You hear in the background her saying, "God damn!" Like, well, that's very Christian of you, isn't it?
Why, yes, it is. I thought I heard a "for Christ's sakes" in there too, a little bit. Yeah.
Or Jesus Christ or something like that. It was one of those, like, it was just a isn't that using his name in vain?
Yeah, I'm thinking Bexy doesn't have a job anymore.
Yeah, I would hope so.
But I read some of the follow-up on that, Steve. Do you know that those guys, and this is the part that sort of just got all over me, those two guys in Montreal worked for 4 days. It took them 4 days to insinuate themselves and baloney themselves and phony themselves through the hierarchy of flappers and hacks and flacks and the political prostitutes inside the McCain campaign until they got her number.
Well, God love them for the effort.
Yeah, absolutely. But consider for a moment, these are people who would be running the country under John McCain.
I agree. Come on, you can't get an interview with her. She'll answer a question.
She blew off Megyn Kelly at Fox today.
Jesus.
You know, I don't know if Megyn was, if it was a perceived imbalance in the hotness scale.
Oh, yeah, that's good.
Or if Megyn was...
You're hotter than me. I'm not appearing on your show.
Yeah, like it can only be some pasty-faced old white dude, Sean Hannity, or a Granny Clampett stand-in.
Oh no, that's me. I love you, Bob.
Did you catch the little piece of audio from Grumpy McHoover today where he referred to Joe the Plumber as Joe the Bomber?
Yeah, I did. Like, oh, that's nice.
You know, my fellow prisoners, Joe the Bomber. Pretty soon he's going to be talking free silver or something. I mean, he's just gone.
He's not Bush making up words, you know, the deciderer and the president and all that stuff. But he's more like, who's the baseball guy?
Oh, Casey Stengel?
Yeah, like Bob Uecker or something like that.
Yeah,
just
okay.
Words and spinning them in ways that don't mean anything and just throwing stuff around randomly.
Yeah, or maybe Marvelous Marv Thronberry, whom Casey Stengel once told, go out and take one in the neck.
Yeah, that's, I got to tell you something about John McCain. And Vicki and I have talked about this fairly extensively, and Kenny too, Clyde too. In 2000, if John McCain had won that primary, he would have won the election. It would have been a landslide. I mean, Al Gore wouldn't have had a snowball's chance enough. John McCain would have won it. And back then, I'm a tree hugger. I had respect for John McCain. I respected a lot of things he did and a lot of things he stood for. But he hasn't done them and he hasn't stood for them in the past 8 years. And now, you know, had he won that election, I would have voted against him. I would have voted for Gore. But I would have, we would have had a lot better last 8 years than we have had. And we wouldn't be nowhere where we're at right now. But now, he's still lost his mind. I think he's gone senile. I think he's, I don't know what's happened.
You know, there was a rumor that floated out there for a while, and I never saw it come into any currency, so I offer it for, you know, exactly what it was, a rumor. But at one point it was said that there was something that might be breaking about John McCain, that he had an active prescription for Aricept. You know what that is?
I have no idea what Aricept might be.
That's the anti-Alzheimer's medication.
And that would not surprise me. It wouldn't, because there are different times you've said things that have made absolutely no sense.
I mean, even to write this off to the fact that he was taken up unto, yea, verily, that high mountain, and offered the world and all its dominions if only he would be Bush's little lickspittle toy for the next
bitch.
8 years.
Is that fun?
Yeah, that, yeah,
bitch
that,
would be the word.
I think that's the word. Even that doesn't explain some of this lunacy. You know, when the video of him and, you know, talking about video on radio, dancing about architecture. But that video of him where he was in a little tiny room with one of those itsy-bitsy sparse crowds that he draws. And he gets done with his remarks, and he just sort of stands there, staring off into space or listening to the voices or whatever, and then wanders around the stage until a handler comes and guides him away. And during the speech, Steve, he's sitting there, and he's got this facial meltdown thing going on down one side of his face. And you know, Agnes is was once upon a time a practicing nurse, and she still practices
right.
on our family. And she just
and
looked
if she
at
wants
it,
to practice on you, baby.
Yeah, I'll tell her.
I'm sorry about that.
No, that's okay. It'll tickle her pink. But you know, because she doesn't. You know, Bob, I'm getting old. I'm like, no, honey, you're not.
There's only one op. The one alternative to getting old.
Yeah.
And it's not a really good option.
Nope. No. Yeah.
But anyway,
I keep telling her, you know, the alternative sucks.
Is dying young.
Yeah. And but I called her in to look at the video, and she said, "Oh my God, Bob,
he had a stroke.
He's having TIAs on camera, transient ischemic attacks, you know, mini strokes." And then
I thought he had a pee. I thought he fucking actually had a pee really bad, and he was trying to hold it in. That's my thought. I'm looking at him like he's got to take a whiz, and I don't mean to offend anyone on the airwaves out there, but he's got to go. And he's walking around because
he's got a 72-year-old prostate behaving like 72-year-old prostates behave. Yeah. It's probably the size of a pomegranate.
But when he's thinking change, you know, he's talking about change, and the reason he got Sarah Palin on board is because, you know, she's all for change, too. She's just got a new baby. She knows how to change his diaper.
Oh, you know, it's satire, and it's parody, and it's levity, but there's far too much truth in it. And that hateful, awful, nasty little woman is running around promoting herself with her own signs at rallies now. Word McCain doesn't even appear on it.
I didn't even show up.
Yeah.
We on Halloween night, we were at a bar. We were at Wally's, which is where we always go. Or, yeah, as you know. And a friend of ours, a woman I used to work with at Duke, still works, she dressed up like Tina Fey, dressed up like her parent. And a bunch of young people, and younger and older people, and you know, oh, you're Sarah Palin, you're Sarah. He's like, I'm Tina Fey. That was her answer. And there was one guy, it's a small town, redneck Kansas. So it's going to be Republican.
Yeah, no getting away from it.
Yeah, and one guy leaned over, grabbed her by the, you know, by the sleeve, and whispered, don't tell these guys, but I'm voting for Obama. And if one of them said it, you know, more than one was saying it, they just weren't telling each other about it.
Yeah.
And you know, everybody worries about the Bradley effect. Bart Kopp over at BartKopp.com today mentioned the fact that he thinks that there's a lot of people who are saying, because, you know, they live among racists and rednecks and bigots.
Yep.
And they, I ain't voting for him. I'd never vote for that. And they're going to go in and do it, too. Because
yep.
at the end of the day, they realize that we can't do this for four more years or eight, God forbid.
If we get the Bradley effect, it's going to be offset in a big, ugly way by the GOP effect. People that just cannot do it. And I got some friends that came in from Denver, and we've been canvassing in Missouri. I live in Kansas, but Kansas is red. It's not changing. But Missouri right now is tight. So we were over there the other day. We were knocking doors. They went over. They were at the Biden rally. Biden, Joe and Jill showed up in Kansas City, Missouri area. And they showed up there. They got there early, and they were right behind him, and they were at the Biden rally. And we've been, you know, knocking doors, making phone calls, doing all that stuff. We're going to do it again tomorrow. I'm going to drive people to the polls in Missouri.
Damn right.
It's right over the border. It's right over. And that one is close. And, you know, and who knows? By the time it gets around to this, it may be decided. But I can't sit there on my hands and say, I voted, therefore I did my job. I've got to do more than that. And I can't sit there on my hands and say, you know, yeah, I voted. Yeah, I spend a couple hours a day on the website. I do this. I do that. You know, I talk to all these. I have to do something. And especially, you know, for Clyde, for Kenny, I got to get out and I got to do it. And I got to do it big. And I got to do it. And it has to happen, because if it doesn't happen, then I won't even know what to do.
You're exactly where I am, Steve, because, you know, just damn. I'm at a place where I cannot, you know, usually you can say, well, you know, if X happens, then you'll probably get Y and possibly Z and A sub 1 and all of that stuff. And you can project, you know, dominoes into the future. I can't imagine what an America under McCain and then as sure as God made little green apples. I mean, if I was given odds, it'd be 100 to 1. That woman will wind up president of the United States, and I cannot physically or metaphysically begin to imagine what happens to our nation under those circumstances.
Nor can I, and I'll tell you what, if that were to happen, I've considered this, and I've discussed it with my wife, and I've discussed it with my friends, and I've discussed it with Dookie, and we've talked about, you know, we could leave the country, but it's the entire world that's affected by this election. It's not just our country.
Yeah,
people in many other countries in Europe and, you know, Asia and Africa and everywhere that say we should have a vote too, even if our vote counts for a half vote, a quarter vote, because what happens in the United States doesn't just happen in the United States. It happens everywhere.
Exactly.
We affect everything. What we do is not, this is a matter of what's happening in this nation. This is not a matter of the future of America. This is a matter of the future of the world, not just a free world, the entire freaking world.
Yeah, we're down to us or the cockroaches at this point.
Everybody, everything, right. It's not the polar bears, it's not it's the leopards, it's every freaking thing, right? As you said, right down to the cockroaches.
I mean, there are children being, you know, there, you know, it's the nature of the breathing of this planet, you know, the Gaia theory. That there are unseen and unimagined effects and counter effects and cause and effect. There are children being born right now. And I don't say this as speculation. I say it as fact. There are children being born right now who, if John McCain is elected, will not see their fourth birthday.
And, you know, frankly, there are children being born who, regardless of who's elected, will not see their fourth birthday.
Well, that
too. There are children, you know, and there's nothing you can do about that. You nor I, nor Obama, nor John McCain, nor anyone can do about that, short of taking an individual stand on their specific individual behalf. But there are a lot more, and there are a lot more in this country, that will not make it to their fourth birthday or their second if McCain is born, as opposed to if Obama's born. Because Obama came from dirt. He came from a single mom His dad left. His mom raised him. And if you wonder why, my wife, Mrs. Amy, pointed this out to me. We were watching him when McCain was attacking him and going after him for so many different things, and he just stood there and smiled. Never raised his blood pressure, never raised his hand, never raised anything. He just stood there and took it, and he looked at me and said, where was he born? He was born in Hawaii. Hang loose, man.
Yeah, yeah, hang loose, brah.
He's relaxed. He's relaxed, and he's going to chill out. He's not going to get anything upset him. But don't mess with him, because if he does, he's got that King Kamehameha stuff on him. He'll take a spear to your head.
I want to get up Wednesday morning, and I hope somebody out there who's really, really good at Photoshop will go and find that classic photo of Muhammad Ali standing over the prone body of Sonny Liston. And we'll Photoshop John McCain's face onto Sonny Liston and Barack Obama onto Muhammad, because that's what I want out of tomorrow.
I don't want a landslide. I want an ass kicking of
biblical proportions. Yeah,
biblical proportions.
That's it, Steve. I want a smiting.
Smiting. That's what I'm talking about. I am writing down what you just said, the Ali. Oh, that's good. Because
I mean, you know the picture I'm talking about, right?
Oh yeah, it's the picture.
You know, he's got the gloves. They're down. It's like, you get up, get up.
Yeah, and he's looking down like, sit down, bitch.
Yeah,
I know exactly. That is one of the most famous sports pictures of all time. I know exactly. Dookie has it hanging in his basement.
No.
Yes, he does. he's got the print of it hanging in his basement. I know exactly the picture you're talking about. It's a classic. It's one of the yes. That's what I want to see.
And I mean, that's the image. That is the image. And you know, we've got a chance here. And you know, bless his heart, we're remembering Kenny, and I don't think he would disagree with me when I say that we have a chance here to run the Republican Party to ground and to eliminate its threat to American civilization and American democratic principles once and for all.
Yes, and when you say democratic, you're not talking democratic with a party. You're talking democratic as a principle of government.
Yes.
Democratic as a matter of
and
voting.
If we fail, one
man, one vote, the people, of the people, by the people, for the people.
Precisely, and it's got to be done. You know, we've got to utterly and absolutely marginalize these weirdo right wingers who are only concerned about little fetuses and stem cells and who want to bomb people who are, you know, for being the wrong color or speaking a language that they don't understand. We've got to do all of that.
You cannot be pro-life and pro-war at the same time. Because if you're pro-war, you are pro-killing people.
Exactly. And you know, my little personal slogan, Steve, if things go the way that we want them to, if we get Barack Obama in the presidency, if we get a really, really solid majority in the House, if we get those 60 or 61 senators it needs to keep filibusters from taking place, I've got four words for the Republican Party. And I think we ought to just plaster it all over the country. Sit down.
Shut up.
Sit down and shut up.
Yep.
Because, you know, they've stolen the silver. They've heisted the television. They've looted the safe. And it's going to take a hell of a lot of hard work to fix all that stuff.
And anyone who's got the balls to stand up there, to stand into that position. Take that over, that situation over. I'll give him credit just for that. Just that he's got the balls to walk up and say, man, this is a mess. But I'll do what I can to start on fixing it.
Exactly. And, I mean, you know, if we do this, if we fix it, and we let the – because, you know, Bill Clinton went a long way toward fixing a lot of stuff that – you know, he made mistakes. But there were things that he fixed. The surplus, remember all that? And everybody laughing at Al Gore over wanting a lockbox and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Well, we fixed it, and then they came and stole it.
And mm-hmm. I'm sick of that process. I want...
It took him less than a year. It took him like 6 months.
Three?
Yeah. To just we'll give it all away. Yeah. Oh, we have a surplus. Therefore, we need these tax breaks. Oh, now we have a deficit. We need these tax breaks. Well, what the hell is it? Which is it?
Yeah.
You can't have both.
And so yeah, I want to fix it. It's going to be hard. There's going to be some sacrifice, but there's no shame in sacrifice. We'll put it back together. We can fix it. We will fix it. But then we have got to be absolutely, utterly, single-mindedly dedicated to the fact that we don't let the bastards back in to steal the silver once we've replenished the drawer.
Exactly. And you know what? Many studies have been done. I studied business. I know statistics way more than I really care to discuss, or even more than I care to know. But the first thing you vote for, whether you vote Democrat, Republican, Independent, Green Party, whatever, statistically, historically, over the past 100 years or thereabouts, since the turn of the last century, since I started the polling, but whoever you vote for in your first election when you're 18 or 21, whatever, is who you tend to vote for the rest of your life. You stick that way. If you vote for a Democrat, you tend to vote for a Democrat for the rest of your life, and Republican vice versa. The current, if you look at any poll of the young demographic right now, the 18 to 30, it is in the upper 60s Democrat. Seriously Democratic. The Republican Party is going to die. They're going to be marginalized for the next generation. And that's as it should be, based on the way they've behaved for the past, since Ronald Reagan. They've behaved poorly. They need a good spanking. They need to time out, sit in the corner, and go away.
Hear, hear. Hear, hear.
So, and I'm going to let you take whatever calls you want to take out. I'm going to go grab me some dinner, say hi to my wife.
Well, yeah, please say hi to Mrs. Wally for us, and bon appetit. And
I still need a good cry, so I
yeah,
haven't done that yet.
That's coming. That might, you know, you don't know when that's going to hit you, Steve.
I don't.
But it can happen at the strangest times. But just, you know. Yeah. Acknowledge it for what it is when it comes, but you know, we're all going to be sitting around here with our salsa and our. I've added bacon to the list.
Oh, dude.
Yes.
Absolutely. Sitting watching, we're going to be watching with. We're doing our canvassing or our driving or calling or whatever tomorrow. We'll be back here. We got a war room going on in my house right now. I got my two friends came in from Denver, which helped me canvass because Colorado's going blue, Missouri not so much. We got a couple of TVs. We got about four computers up. We're going to be going with it. If you'd like, we'll call you tomorrow. Or if you have this number that you can call me.
Okay. Well, we're gonna be here until we know what happened tomorrow night.
I'd like a request of you. I have something I'd like to send to you from the service today. So email me physical address. I can send you something. Different.
Okay. I absolutely will. Steve, thanks so much, man. And we'll be here tomorrow night. I look forward to hearing from you. And I want to be there and take the call when you say Missouri Obama
is blue. Oh, I'll be like
All right, Steve, have a great evening and good hearing from you, brother. We'll talk soon. We love y'all too. Bye now.
You betcha. Bye.
Yeah, don't you know. See ya. All right, well, let's see what's going on here. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hello, Bob.
Well, hey, Bob.
Why you told me to call back?
And I meant it.
Good day, all.
I think so.
Question.
Yes, sir.
Question. Don't call me, sir.
I know. That's a habit.
It's a funny thing we do. You know, we want, we need, we do a lot of things, Bob. We do a lot of things. But do we talk to each other? I mean, really talk. Sometimes we just say what we want. I'd love for people to say what they really need. My brother. brothers, my sisters, just listen for a moment and think about what you really need. What you need is family. You need people that love you. Do you not?
We all do.
Yes. And think about it. Who's that, Dave, the boat builder down on the coast? Huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, I listened to him and I thought, oh my God.
Oh, no. Who you heard earlier, that was Dave from Canada.
Oh, Dave from Canada.
Yeah, he's new to the program.
Oh, he didn't. Used to be the boat builder down on the coast, okay? My bad. Oh, my goodness.
No, we've got well, no, it's not. No, it's understandable, Bob, because we have oodles of Daves. We get a couple more Daves or Davids into this network, and we're just going to call it Radio David.
Wait.
I mean, we got David in Maine, we got David in South Carolina, David in Tennessee, Dave in Canada, Dave in California.
Gosh, hey, you're the Bob down there in, was that North Georgia or North Carolina?
I'm Hillbilly Bob.
North, south of, east of something, west of something else.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, think about it. For a moment, just a moment, my dear friends, and I mean that. Oh, my goodness. You speak of things that have passed. Oh, my goodness, we've had so many things that have passed, have they not, Bob?
Indeed, indeed.
We talk about it. We speak loudly. We scream. We holler. But do we care? I care about ELO. I really do. I love ELO. I really do. Oh, good night. Good night. I just love that girl. You know?
Yep.
I had more fights with her. Think about it. When you can, get into their face for a moment. Just one moment. Get into their face and say, I don't agree with you. And I'm going to struggle with you. And maybe when we come out of this thing, we'll come up better off. But, Bob, I said it last week. I said, vote for Obama. Please. And I was begging. Every human on this planet that has a vote on this continent happens to just be inside of this little kind of fuzzy line on the south, fuzzy line on the north. There's no wall between us.
No. And you and Steve have both touched on something that is incredibly important, and that is when you go out and you vote for Obama, you're not just voting for your own hopes and dreams and ambitions or that of your family. You're literally voting the hopes of the entire world.
Truly.
And holy smokes, what a responsibility that is if we take it seriously.
I take it that seriously, Bob. No, I'm not voting for myself when I go into the polls tomorrow. I'm voting for 59,000 others that can't vote anymore. I vote for my brothers and my sisters. I vote for them, Bob. I don't vote for myself. I vote for those that cannot vote. I vote for the children of this world. I vote for you. You are that important to me. Maybe not to them. I don't care about them. I care about you as a human being. I care about you as a person. I care about Agnes and the babies. Oh, God, I love them. I've never met them. Would love to. But listen, please. I vote for 60,000, not 59. It was closer to 60,000 of us that died there. So that's a time way back when, kind of like, I guess, D-Day. You know, when the boys went up on the beach, they didn't count them in the hundreds. They counted them in the thousands, Bob.
Yes.
See, think about those.
It is a profound act, voting. It is no small act.
That is the truth. It is what your duty is. If you have to go vote, then vote. If you have to go die, then go die. But don't tell me that it is not a worthy cause. When my fathers went up on that beach and my brothers went up on that beach, and when I saw my brothers die in Vietnam, it doesn't matter what, in Iraq, my sons, my little girls, going to die for you, is it not an honor to vote for them? Then go vote. Just get out of your, whatever you're sitting on your butt, get your butt up, go out there and vote together. Stand for an hour or 2 hours or 10 hours, it doesn't matter. Stand and vote for them. And vote for Obama. Vote for Obama.
And give the world a chance.
Thank you, Bob. Give the world a chance. I love that. It's always, I love the little things that they have in front of them. Voting for a change. Let's have a change for a change, okay?
Yeah.
Let's have some real change. Real change. Not the change that, Dick Cheney and George Bush give you, the change in your pocket so you can get on the subway or, go home at night and give your wife a cabbage so maybe she can make you some whatever, sushi and fish and cabbage. Think about it, Bob. Please, Dave down on the coast or Dave up in Canada or Dave over on the other side of the continent, think about it. This is not for me. This is not for you. It's for everybody. Vote Obama, please. Or don't. Vote for McCain and stay in the same garbage we've been in for what?
Almost 8 years.
Almost. Yeah, but hey, Bob, it started a long time before that. And most
time, I think I know what you're saying. It's time to drain the damn swamp.
Yep, it's time to take the scum off the top and, hey, bring up some fresh air, please, Bob. Bring up some fresh air. Just give us a breath of life. Life for all of us. Not you, not me, but for your children.
Here, here.
And my grandchildren. My great, I got a great-grandbaby, you know that?
Wow.
I got a great-grandbaby, and I'd love to see him grow up in a free world, one that doesn't fear because somebody says, oh, it's an orange or a red or a pink or a chartreuse day today, okay?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, indeed.
Hey, now let's stop being afraid because that's the only thing they got. The cell is fear. They got a fear-monger out of Alaska?
Yep. Yeah, reject the fear. And like Albert says, fear is the mind killer. Hey, Bob, I'm going to try to catch these next couple of calls.
It's the little mind killer, Bob.
Exactly.
Fear is the little mind killer. So you take care, my friend.
All right, you too. And we'll be here tomorrow night, Albie, yeah. And God willing, we'll be celebrating.
And I will be calling in.
Well, why, no, if you want to, call. That's fine.
No, because we'll be celebrating too much. and I'll probably be drunker than a skunk.
Hey, you know what? If they announce that Obama's won, there's every possibility that this entire network will be drunker than Adam's off ox. So,
hey, guess what? You know, what was that thing that them Irish people used to do? They used to dance the jig, right?
Yep.
Yeah, I'll be dancing for one, for a jig. Think about it.
Ah.
Hey, Bob, you ain't a prejudiced man, and I'm not one.
I know.
I'm just saying, I'll be dancing.
Yep.
401.
All right.
Change, okay?
Okay. We'll talk to you soon, Bob.
Thank you.
Bye now.
Yeah. Bye-bye.
Let's see. Any of you guys still here? No, you're not. All right. Lines are cleared. So we will wrap things up. We will have gone about a half hour over, and my apologies. I like to end on time because I know a lot of you guys like to go over to check out Malloy. Heck, it's what I do these days, too. And so we'll wrap it up pretty quick. I want to share something with you before we go, though. Saul Williams is a brilliant poet and a brilliant man. And this is what this is his offering, contemplating the morrow. It's pretty stirring business.
And without a doubt, I will be voting on November 4th for Barack Obama because it has to happen, because now is the time. I'm a poet, I'm a musician, and I wrote something for this day to inspire us all to get up and vote like I'm inspired, like I know I'm going to do, like I want every cynic and every rebel to get up and do. I wrote a letter to history. Dear history, for too long have I pondered your meaning, memorized dates of battles, years of servitude, decades of injustice, named eras after movements, the extinction of species, founding fathers in vintage suits. I've walked through your museums wondering how it is that greatness and lit has lived and died all before my time. Parts of me have feared becoming great because it seemed that the price would be death and a post-mortem glory that my memory could never learn to resurrect. I've stared at paintings dying to catch glimpses of the painter, closed my eyes to listen to songs that drunken ghosts dance to, and all the while I fought to free the present to become. In 1995, I stood with poets in the middle of the Brooklyn Bridge, barking metaphors at the moon, daring it to release us from its cycle. In 1996, I forced the ocean back with words, climbed pyramids in Guatemala, and sang the siren song to conjure the dream-filled children of the night. In 1997, I stood with prisoners in our nation's capital, while hip-hop stole the golden calves from the Old Testament and began worshiping diamond gods. In 1998, I swallowed fear and sundanced on film reels, projecting all of my dreams through time, and here I stand, 10 years a man, and a witness of changing times. Dear history, I beat you, generator of generations, bearing witness to a world that we are holding accountable for past actions. Me and my friends were changing our diets, reinventing marriage, checkmating capitalism, redefining ethics, replacing cruelty with compassion, and have sworn not to reelect the sins of the father. We're voting this year for so much more than a lesser of evils, but for change and greater insight, for wisdom out of the mouths of babes, for races that bleed into one. Dear history, you are behind us, and we no longer look back. We are standing on the threshold of new times, watching old worlds collapse and charging forward without battle cry or trumpet, while cynicism and apathy and cowardice stand beside you, behind us. Dear history, we no longer believe in you. We have invested our beliefs into the present time, the present moment, into our present opportunity to shift our reality into one that does not resemble the past. We stand on the shoulders of those that have fought and dreamed, and on the necks of those that are caught in time. It is ballots or bullets. And for once, the choice is clear. Barack Obama, November 4th. Progress.
And there you go. So, it's sign-off time for the evening. I have never known in 45 years on this planet a more momentous day than the one that is already dawning on the other side of the globe. I have never known a day more filled with promise or more fraught with peril. Whether that day is one of promise or peril is entirely up to us. And we recognize the fight before us. We know, for instance, these things, that there is a possibility of electoral chaos on Tuesday, when more people turn out for a presidential election than have probably ever turned out before, and they do so in an electoral ballot system that is, to say the least, untested, and to say the worst, criminal in its inception and execution. We know that there will be long lines. We know that if you are poor, if you are African American, or if you come from what is deemed to be a liberal polling precinct, we know that you will not have adequate machines on which to vote. We know these things. We know that election rigging machines are flipping votes. We know these things. We know that flyers have been sent out in Virginia telling people, perhaps first-time voters, anxious to vote for Barack Obama. We know that they have been given flyers that say that they are to vote on Wednesday. We know these things. We know these things. We know, Lord, we know that the usual right-wing filth and garbage and trash tactics of sending out notices telling people that if they show up at the polls and there is a warrant out for their arrest, that they will be indeed arrested. We know that people have been threatened with arrest in the case of their name not being right on the lists. We know. Democrats are not doing this. No, they're not. It is the same usual suspects. We pig lickens. Enemies of freedom. Enemies of the democratic principles that innervate and energize this ongoing experiment in this country. We know. And knowing all these things, if we do not do every last thing within our power to right this ship of state, then we ourselves will have been as complicit in perpetuating the nightmare as any of the sleazy thugs who have tried to take votes away. Tomorrow is one day on which the future of the world rests. Tomorrow is one day when we are not too tired, not too inconvenienced, not too busy, not too anything. Tomorrow is the one day when we test our mettle. From me to you, from all of us to each other, here is hoping that we pass that test. Thanks, everyone, for tuning in. We will have coverage beginning at 3 p.m. tomorrow with the Guy James Show. And we will go tomorrow evening until we know that there is either a winner or a thief in the land. Put all your hopeful energy that we have a winner, that we have Barack Obama, a solidly Democratic Congress, a filibuster-proof Senate, and that we can then begin the hard and daunting labor of fixing all these many things that have gone so wrong for so long. Thank you all for your emails, your calls, your participation in the chat room, for downloading the programs, for going to the archives, for listening on the 24/7 stream at headonradionetwork.com, WD40.com, afterdowningstreet.org, and iTunes Radio. Thank you. Thank you. Thanks go out, of course, to Peter Godbold and John Fox, our IT professional and chief engineer, respectively, who work tirelessly to make sure that these programs get out to you. Thank you to the hardest-working, most overworked man in liberal talk, Ben Birch at WhiteRoseSociety.org, who makes the streams reach you. Thanks to the hardest-working, bravest people I know, the folks at Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. I have learned much from their heroism, and I am proud to call them friend. And always, 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 RMR, Gina, it's all for you.